B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy, happy, happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. Tuesday, October the 6th. And the football season has been saved. We have meaningful football, and it looks like we're going to have meaningful football throughout the rest of the season. Now, you know, it may not be the best quality, but do we care? I don't, quite frankly. I know what this team is, and the only thing that matters is that, A, I got meaningful football, that they're in contention in some way. That's my goal for any season. Unless it's a bad year and it's completely a process type of situation where I know they're going to be awful and I have zero expectations, I can stomach that in all the sports if they're trending the right way, right? Like, you know, you're going to do the whole winless for Wiggins and, you know, remember that one? God forbid you went with Wiggins. But that whole situation, that I could stomach. I don't like it, but I could stomach it. Like the fills. Like, all right, the run comes to an end and you got to retool. Now, I want them. I think their whole thing's been a disaster since they've rebuilt. But I understand the rebuild situation. When it comes to football, when it comes to the, it's so precious the way I look at football, because you only got 16 games. And, you know, I've lived through those awful 5-11 seasons, and they're not fun. You don't have to giddy up every Sunday. You know they're going to lose. You know they're bad. So, you've already resigned that this is what it is. They don't really impact your mood. It's only when we have expectations that our mood on Monday is in jeopardy or in flux, right? When they win, we're excited and happy. When they lose, we're miserable and ornery. So when it comes to football, I want competitive, meaningful football. And it's why I always said no when we would do the whole 10 years for a Super Bowl. And I want every week to matter because there's only 16 of them. We know how we feel. Week 16 doesn't matter, right? Or week 17. When that doesn't matter and the game just doesn't count, think about it. There's no reason to watch it, right? Like, you watch it just out of habit, but you know, there's no emotional tie. Say what you want. Sunday night, you had an emotional tie. Right? Like, you had skin in the game without betting the game because the season was still in the balance. Now, you saw the Cowboys lose and you went, all right, well, if they win, they're in first place. And so you judged the game, and it was great they won the game, but you also realized that the Cowboys are so bad defensively that the Eagles are going to be in the season all year long. So it matters. And that's what all that counts for me. And it's why I'm excited that I'm going to have meaningful football the rest of the season. I don't have any delusions. They're not going to win a Super Bowl. I get it. But if I can get to a playoff, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to give me meaningful football through January. And that's it. But that we talk about meager wants. Well, that's the baseline. Get me to a wild card. Get me to a division. Even if I got to win it at 6-9-1, if I can win it, I'm excited. Now, you know, there's degrees of excitement and degrees of, hey, if you're really a great team that has a chance to win a Super Bowl, that's a different story. But this is the base I got to keep my season interested. And that's what I'm about. So I'm curious how you guys looked at Sunday night. We had Doug yesterday. We had Doc Rivers yesterday. So, you know, I want to kind of piggyback off the conversation. And here it is, the light of Tuesday. Remember, Tuesday's the day where we look at things with a clear head, right? That's the day we look at things with a clear head. So here it is. What are your thoughts? It's going to matter. It may not be pretty, but it's going to matter. The other thing I want to talk about today is, you know, I thought Wentz played really well. I thought he played with a lot of heart Sunday night. Just played filled with heart. And you could see him dying on the field Sunday night, trying to do anything he can. I respect that as a fan. Now, I am predisposed. I like him, right? I do. I think he's got skills. I think you see, if you have any kind of brain, if you actually look at sports and follow football, you could pair up and go, all right, on one end is Carson Wentz. On the other end is, I don't know, Nick Mullins, right? Nick Mullins stinks. Like, that's a quarterback who stinks. If Carson Wentz looked like that, then you go, yeah, he stinks. He's not that. He may not be Patrick Mahomes, but he's not Nick Mullins. Yet, especially on social media, he just gets crushed by a segment of the population. And so does Ben Simmons. Now, Ben Simmons is back in the news because Doc Rivers is in. He's asked, what are you going to do with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons? How are you going to approach it with Ben? How are you, get him to shoot? And you heard what he had to say both at the news conference and with Mike, which is, I'm not worried about it. I just need him to score. And I assure you, I'll get him to score. And yet, and that brings out a lot of hate, a lot of vitriol. So here's my question, and I want to reach it out to a segment of the population. Now, you guys know, right? You guys know that I'm a Wentz and Simmons guy. I love them both. I root for them both. I think they both have talent, and I want to see it flourish here. What don't you like about them? Because there is a lot of, like, vitriol, like, nasty vitriol when it comes to those two. And it's really caused a chasm in town. And my aim today, and, you know, probably all week, is to bridge the chasm. What is it? What about Wentz don't you like? Because sometimes it goes beyond just the pure play. Like, you can't be a football guy and say he stinks. Like, that's just not true. There is some other agenda. And I know you guys are smart. Listen, you may not like Carson Wentz, but I do know you know your football. We know our sports in this town. There's something else. Maybe it's Foles driven. Maybe it's, you know, you don't like that he doesn't say anything. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why. Only you can answer it. So here's what I'm going to propose. You call up. I'll give you 30 seconds uninterrupted. All right? I'm not going to interrupt you. I'm not going to hang up on you. Right? None of that. You tell me what you don't like about those two. It could be anything from their game to something petty. I don't even care. I just want to get it out there. So then we can address it, because it's in your interest, if you are an Eagles fan and a Sixers fan, it's in your interest to make sure that they perform well, to root them in, so to speak. That's your interest. If you're a true fan, you need Simmons and Wentz to perform well. They are the most polarizing figures in this town. Embiid, a little bit, not as much as Simmons. Flyers, everybody feels good about Flyers. Phillies, I think we kind of know. We We're on board with a lot, but we don't like the general manager and the stewardship of the front office. Now, the general manager's gone, but his presence remains in Ned Rice, who was his assistant. I still don't even understand that. I don't even understand. Well, don't make a change for that. You're gonna strip the general manager, reassign him to pool boy, but yet you're going to keep his assistant. What sense does that make? You're going to keep the president who brought in these two. What sense does that make? You still have the same direction. You still have the same issues, which is you can't identify talent. So I don't even think there is a split. There's no, you can't be pro Phillies management. We're all pro Harper and pro Real Muto and even pro Girardi. But the front office, which gives you the talent, there's no, you know, none of that. Doug is a little bit polarizing in that I think he's a great leader of men. I still think his game day is eh. But that's about it. I root like hell for him. I think it goes down to the two most polarizing figures in this town, which is Carson Wentz and Ben Simmons. Good morning, Chunas.
Hey, Ant. How are you?
What's up, my brother?
I'm doing good. I'm still in a good mood today. That win Sunday has carried over into Tuesday today. And, you know, I was asked earlier this morning by the great Connor Thomas, who's helping us out today. He's like, you know, how did you feel about that game? Are you still down about the Eagles? I'm like, you know what? Right now, I don't care. Right now, the Birds are 1-2-1. Yes, weird, bad record, but they are in first place of the NFC East. We did the exercise yesterday when we looked at the Cowboys' schedule, and I think the Cowboys are terrible. Their defense is awful. So the Eagles could be in it throughout the entire season, no matter what their record is, which is a good sign for Eagles fans to be happy.
That goes back to my opening statement, which is all I want. Like, what do you want out of a football season? For me, I just need the games to matter. I want to go over my cousin's house,
yep,
and watch the game. And he and I disappear for 3 hours and watch and just, you know, look at the line, geek out.
Yeah, I want to wake up Sunday morning and go, oh, man, is it an Eagles game today?
Yeah, I can't wait for the game.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. 1 o'clock, oh, my God. You know, I love 8 o'clock kickoff, but, right, man, I have to wait all the way until 8 o'clock. Like, I love having that feeling in my stomach every single day. I you know, too much early or late in the Chip Kelly era, early in Doug Peterson era, we were like, all right, I'll watch the game today. Or even the first season of Doug and Carson, you were really only watching for growth. You weren't watching for the game itself. You wanted to see the growth of Carson Wentz. So I'm glad that we have something to look forward to again this Sunday, even though it's going to be a tough game against the Steelers. I don't care. Let's go. I'm going to get up for it and get fired up for it. Now, the Carson thing and the Ben Simmons thing is fascinating.
All right, before you get that, because you kind of glossed over a little bit, you're good. Like, the baseline, right? For your enjoyment is competing for the postseason.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
So, therefore, you and I kind of lockstep in, hey, man, games matter. Thank God.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't matter if the Cowboys stink and that's why they're in it. Right?
No, it doesn't matter. Now, if the Cowboys were, let's say they're 1-3 right now. If they were 2-2, but they still looked good, like the offense looked really good, as it has. The offense has looked good, but let's say the defense looks a little bit better, and they're 2-2, and the Eagles are 1-2-1. I might still go, maybe it'd be better if the Eagles lose some games here, get a higher draft pick. But come Sunday, I can't feel that way. I felt that way leading up to the game against the 49ers up until Saturday, but then when I woke up Sunday morning, I was ready for game day. When I heard that the NBC music, I can't go, oh, I hope they lose today for a better draft pick. So if the Cowboys were playing better, I might feel a different way. But because the Eagles are right there, then I don't care if they finish 6-9-1, they get a playoff spot. And you know what? I still think Carson Wentz is a good quarterback. Has he been perfect this year? No. But I still think he's a good quarterback. And hopefully with some of these receivers that are coming back healthy, maybe you get lucky. And they caught fire before, right? 2017, they caught fire.
Exactly.
Maybe they catch fire this year. Much better team in 17, but who knows?
Right. I agree. Listen, you know, you always go the bottom end of any Super Bowl team was that Giants team.
Yes.
The second one. Second one was, wasn't even the first. The first one had a great defense. Second one was, I don't know how they won it, but they won it. So, I hear you. I mean, you know, you can root for some luck. All right, now I know you're chomping at the bit. The two polarizing figures in our town, the quarterback and the 6'11 point guard.
Yes.
Which is interesting because the point guard is the quarterback of the floor.
Yeah, that's true. It's fascinating because I look at some of the responses that we get on social media. And yesterday, so I like to tweet out some of your opening remarks every day. On the station's account at 975 The Fanatic. And yesterday I just sort of put out your opening statement and you opened up with Carson Wentz and how he played well. And right away there's people coming in going, he made one good play. Why are you giving him credit? Oh, what about the four bad throws? What about the only 193 passing yards? They forget about the rushing yards and the way he willed the team to score touchdowns. Right away, as soon as you say something positive about Carson Wentz, you get back a bunch of negativity. And it's the same thing for Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons could have a triple-double where it's 25, you know, 12 and 10, and people will come back and say, I wish he scored 35. I wish he took a few three-pointers. And I get it, right? Like, I wish Ben Simmons was more aggressive on offense. I wish that Ben Simmons wasn't afraid to get to the foul line or wasn't afraid to shoot. Like, I wish those things, too. I wish that Carson Wentz sometimes didn't hold on to the ball too long. It still happened again last week against the Niners. He also had like 2 seconds to throw it at points. There's no way. There's, for some reason, people can't come to, I don't want to say their defense, but when they deserve credit, you should give them credit.
Well, here's the thing. If you take, you bring back Lombardi, right? And you go, hey, Vince, what did you take away from that game? Vince tells you, man, that quarterback played his heart out. I think it's that obvious that Wentz played his heart out, that he's throwing to nobody. No, even the staunch hater like Jay from West Philly, who it can say anything he wants, but he's a complete Wentz hater.
Yes.
Because I could see into his heart. Even a guy like him can't criticize him after Sunday night. But you could see, first of all, he made some sensational throws and he's thrown to nobody. Right? He's got a tattered offensive line. In tatters. I mean, Lane Johnson's in and out. You got no left tackle. Right? Your guards are replacement guards. You got Kelce is it. That's all you got. And you're going to talk about he threw low to Miles Sanders? Like, do you watch football during the course of the day? I try to bring up the Prescott stuff where he's, you know, throws for 500 yards, but his receivers on a touchdown drive, three of them make three incredible catches and plays for him because, and that helps, right? You know, I know it doesn't take away when you look at the box score and see 500 yards, you don't see, well, you know, six times receivers made great catches or great plays. I mean, no quarterback is going to be perfect on every throw. And quite frankly, it wasn't a worm burner. It didn't hit the ground. Still, it was in his hands.
Right.
Could have caught it, made a play. It wasn't on the money. If it was on the money, he's still running. I get it. But how about somebody make a play for him, too?
Plus, this was in the fourth quarter when he had like 2 seconds to throw the first three quarters.
Well, and I just think those are facts. Like, this isn't, you know, my only interest, vested interest in Wentz is that he performed well here so the Eagles win.
Yes.
If Carson Wentz went to, I don't know, name your place, right? Chicago or Denver or wherever. I mean, I'm not going to root against him, but But I'm not rooting for Carson Wentz. He's not an Eagle anymore.
Right.
I mean, that's just what it is. As a football fan, I'd be interested to see how he performs. But, again, my only vested interest is he plays well for the Eagles. And I don't see how you guys watch him. And what? What's your takeaway? How do you quantify the lack of weapons that he's had? I mean, really, you got to be able to quantify it. I don't think he can.
Hey, put some more respect in the name of Travis Fulgham. How dare you?
All right, Cuz Radio with Chunis just getting started today. Hey, I've told you about Xceva. Now, it's Xceva Vitamin Infusion Therapy. What it is they have these sweets, right? There's one actually in Township Line. I love it. It's where I go, right in Drexel Hill. It's awesome. But they got one in Bucks County and the whole thing. And what it is they'll give you these vitamin infusions. And they have different kinds. Kinds that make you feel better, you know, vitamins and nutrients. Some for beauty aids, some for women love that, or some for energy, some for all kinds of things, right? And basically they're an IV of vitamins and goodness. So I've been doing it, and it's amazing. I couldn't get there over the last couple of weeks, and I am feeling horrible. I don't think I'm completely, I think it's a lot of allergies, but I'm feeling horrible. I actually feel the difference of not having my vitamin infusion therapy. It works. Flooding your body with the vitamins, nutrients, amino acids, and hydrations you need to boost your immune system, to elevate your mood, to elevate your energy level, to replenish your reserves. So we're talking vitamins, nutrients, hydration, all administered by a board-certified nurse at one of Xceva's modern infusion suites. I'm telling you, look, it's caveman logic, man. I don't know anything about stuff. All I know is I get my infusion and I feel better a couple of days. I do it for religiously over a couple of weeks. Every other week, I feel fantastic. I don't do it. I feel like I do now. Xceva's Vitamin Therapies. Visit Xceva.com. That's AXIVA.com. Xceva Replenish Recharge Relief.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
What up?
What up is meaningful football. That's what's up. And that's pretty cool. Hey, before we get into it and all of our conversations, and you can reach us and converse with us at 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Radio with that man, the Chunis. Let me, I want to get a TV star up here. Andrew, you know our autism captain, our man, Ben from Montgomeryville? He's a superstar. Ben. Yo, Ben.
Yo, what's up?
Yeah, what's up, superstar? You're going to give me your autograph?
I'm ready to give you your autograph, cuz.
Thank you, my man. How was it? Tell me about it.
I'm ready for the Birds. I can't believe they won on Sunday. I'm so excited, cuz.
I know you are, buddy.
We're first place in the East.
I love it, man. What'd you do for the game?
I actually got to go on the NFL experience on the computer, so I got to be like on a virtual TV. I got TV.
You were a virtual fan, and you got shown. You're the man, yeah. Buddy.
It was great. I got to watch the game. I was like, oh, my God.
I'm proud of you. Well, I know there's no bigger Eagle fan than you, and
yes,
you
sir.
Do so well. and you're the autism chant, the captain, and Eagles do such a great job for the cause, and you're there, buddy. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, cuz. I'm ready for some football. Man, I hope they win this Sunday. They better beat Pittsburgh.
Listen, if they can figure out a way to beat the Steelers, you know, now we're talking, right?
Yes, sir.
I like it. All right, now I need you to be, I love the fact that you're a virtual fan, all right? Now we got to make this thing work every week, all right?
Okay.
You're the man, Ben.
Wait. Eagles!
Yeah! There you go, buddy. That's our pal Ben from Montgomeryville. Let's kick it off. KY, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, KY.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning to you guys. How y'all doing?
What's up, buddy? What's happening?
I can't complain. Hey, listen, man. I just want to talk about the Birds just for a little bit. I ain't going to keep you long.
Yeah, sure.
Listen, I think after this season, I think we need to get rid of Howie. I think we need a clean house. I think we need to get rid of all the coaching staff and rebuild. Because Carson should be back down to square zero again with no weapons again how he were in the playoffs. I mean, everybody's getting hurt. You know what I'm saying? He don't really have that much talent to throw to. I mean, Howie's happy. He got to do a better job. I mean, he's not proven to us that he could be a good GM as far as scouting talent-wise.
Here, you brought up something that is fascinating, too. How is it that this team is always hurt? I mean, the soft tissue injuries over and every year. They're a mass unit.
It's killing us. And it's just like the same thing every year. Either, you know, the starting players get hurt and you have nobody to throw to.
I know. And you start to look, you go, all right, well, listen, there's a couple common denominators. One, they're older, right? Older players tend to get injured more. So they have an older roster. But even beyond that, it's excessive. I mean, KY, I mean, geez, all the time. You got to deal with all these soft tissue injuries.
And listen, I don't want to be a morning Debbie Downer, but it kills me when I see DK Metcalf always
score. I know.
And we got this guy, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, smile on the sideline. But hey, listen, I'm not going to complain too much.
No, I hear you, brother.
Go Birds on Sunday, and you guys have a blessed day.
You too. Have a blessed day, KY. I like that. No, I'm with you, and here's the thing. We almost need to do an intervention for us. You know that?
Yeah. We may have to. There's still a lot of negativity right now.
Well, I was going to say a specific intervention, and that is for the weapons around the NFL that should have been here.
We do need that.
I have a DK Metcalf obsession.
Yes.
But it goes beyond that. It's almost every team I have an obsession.
Yeah, you see a guy, you go, I wanted that guy. It's not just, oh, he would have looked nice. You literally said, but leading up to drafts, I wanted that guy. Or free agency, I wanted that guy. That guy was available for a trade. I wanted that guy. DeAndre Hopkins, right? And we see all these guys just ball out for other teams, and their names were linked. How many times do you hear like guys like Adam Schefter say the Eagles are linked to this player, right? Oh, well, they're always making phone calls. They're always checking in because Howie Roseman's aggressive, blah, 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 blah. And then I see these moves not happen, and then I see these guys play very well in other areas that aren't the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, man. I'm not going to lie to you and say I wanted Brandon Ayuk. Like, I didn't want the Eagles to draft him. I had other guys ahead of him, but he was a guy that there were a lot of Philadelphia Eagles fans that wanted Brandon Ayuk. And I'm sure there were a lot of people on Sunday that watched that play and go, see, could have been ours.
I know. I feel the same way. And I look, right. He makes that play where he leaps over Epps.
Yep.
And you go, oh.
And every time it's a receiver, even though J.J. Arcega-Whiteside wasn't in that draft, right, you still go, wow, he made one big play. One more big play than J.J. Arcega-Whiteside ever made in his career.
You were doing your update yesterday, and
Travis Fulgham has as many touchdown catches as J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Travis Fulkham was drafted in the same year, but in the sixth round, played three games on special teams by the Lions, got cut by the Packers. Practice squad, as many touchdowns as J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
I mean, we thought we had an issue with Flyers goalies up until Carter Hart. And listen, it's hard to find a great goalie, I grant you. But it shouldn't be that hard to find a great wide receiver. And the thing that I keep going back to is, you have all this money, you invested all your capital, a lot of capital,
yes,
into Wentz. Wouldn't it make sense that you surround him with just, you know, stud after stud?
Either that, or you invest in a very good offensive line, which in recent years they haven't. They tried to by drafting Andre Dillard in the first round, right? Like, they paid Lane Johnson. Now, Lane Johnson, good teammate, always does the pay cuts. Remember, part of his pay cut this year went toward Jason Peters getting an extra $1 million or his restructured contract, excuse me. But, you know, going into this year, you want to talk about weapons. What about an offensive line? You look at the guys on the line, and you can't I get it. Injuries are one thing, but we knew the Jason Peters thing would eventually happen. We already had question marks about Andre Dillard. You got to invest either in wide receivers or an offensive line. Pick one. And they're not doing either.
And it's mind-boggling. How do you... Listen, I love Darius Slay. So, and he was necessary.
Yeah, and that last play, I didn't really realize it. He actually... George Kittle had the ball in his hand.
He
punched it out. Yeah, which he was part of that game.
No, he's... terrific. I give Howie tons of credit for Darius Slay, right? You ain't got him. The problem is you had to go pay Darius Slay, and Sidney Jones never became Darius Slay, right? So it hurts you all over the fact that you got all that money tied up in the defensive line.
A lot of it.
Listen, I understand you need a great D-line.
Especially in this defense.
I know. But you start looking at the offense, and they tried to address it, and who knows? Maybe Jalen Reagor will be a player, and they'll have fixed it. But it's so hard for us to have any kind of patience with that because Jalen Reagor's hurt, right? And so he's not playing.
He's hurt, and he's a question mark, right? Like, I think Jalen Reagor is going to be a good player. But all the draft analysts say he's going to be good down the road. He's not like a week one ready to go, whereas a guy like Justin Jefferson, who a lot of people wanted, was ready week one NFL.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see. I like Jalen Reagor, but is Jalen Reagor going to be enough? You still need a second guy.
Yeah.
You always talk about these other teams like the Chiefs. Mahomes is more than one guy. I know the Chiefs didn't score much yesterday, but you get my point. He's got many, you know,
I don't think anybody's going to quibble with you. But I don't understand that. I don't. And I don't understand how they treat him. Do you? How they treat Wentz?
Not what, like meaning personnel around him?
Well, in a lot of different ways. Like, I don't know. I would be going overboard
in my investment.
Yeah.
And $100 million.
And in my praise too. Like, all right, you know, like dude's balling and he doesn't have a lot. I don't know. Now listen, he was bad. I grant you. He was bad earlier this year. I mean, Sunday night was his only night. So I hear you. He didn't play well the first three games. But I just look at what's around him and I just don't understand it. Anyway, let's get back to the phone lines. And I want to get my man Jay from West Philly up here because Jay is a Carson hater.
Not a hater. Do I get 30 seconds on each one of them?
Yes.
All right. My thing with Ben.
All right, starting now.
My thing with Ben. We was told, and since his junior year high school, he a generational player. And all these dudes done passed him on something that he refused to do. He should be Luka. The the way he feel about DK Metcalf. And what's up, Jones? That's how I feel when I watch Lucas. There's no way Lucas should have passed Ben by that leaps and bounds by that. And with Carson, my biggest thing with Carson is five. Now, the way you defend five and your arguments for him, that's what I always had with Don. So I just hold him to the standards that McNabb was being held to. I didn't hear all these excuses for him when he was here.
All right, so, all right, any more?
No, that's it right there. Then we
all right, so, that's fascinating. So the root of your I'm not going to call it hate, but the your agenda is five because you love five and you feel like Wentz gets better treated than five.
Exactly. That's all I heard. Look, I heard after his third game, he went 3-0 Pittsburgh. He's best quarterback Eagles ever had. And I'm hearing all this stuff.
So if you go back now, if you go back, now I was on the air beginning with Donovan's second year.
Yeah.
All right. Donovan's second year, and let's say from 2000 up until 2003.
Right.
All right. I'll argue with you that he was put on a pedestal. And that I remember, gushing over five, saying
and
he's
I
got
remember
no,
that,
he's
got, get me with you sometimes.
He's got no receivers. How many times I say he got no receivers?
I'm saying just you, and it might have been a minority. How many times I was hearing people, not you, but, yeah, we'll never win with him because he throw worm balls, this, that. This kid had us in the NFC Championship game in his second year, third year? We was perennial contenders. But all I heard was, he'll never do this, he stinky that, and he didn't have no receivers. What did he do when they finally got him a receiver?
Yeah, he went to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. You look at all those championship games. He went into that defense. Come on, man. Ricky Manning Jr. beating up the wide receivers. He was out there.
That's true.
Herbert Westbrook.
That's true. Now, here's the problem with five. And I think you, even as a five fan, can admit to this. His biggest problem was he was passive aggressive, right? And so he wasn't quarterbackish. Like, the T.O. thing killed him. Like, he should never have... First of all, he should have went to bat for Owens, right?
Why? Because he was crazy?
Well,
is he crazy?
To make it work. Not because he was doing the right thing, but just to make it work. Like, if I see someone who's crazy but talented and can help me win, well, I got to, I can't worry that the fans are going T.O.
Yeah, the dude talking fast. You know
what I'm saying?
That's
now, listen.
Like an owl for my boy, man.
Listen, his his biggest problem, and it's a shame, was, and a lot of it wasn't his fault, right? The booing at the draft.
Right.
I was at the kids. I was at the guy's house. Right.
And that's what gets me about Philadelphia.
His
fans.
Mother. His mother. Yeah. I felt horrible because his mother said, oh, they were booing. And he's like, nah, they weren't booing. Like I felt bad for him. But it wasn't everybody. You remember the story.
It wasn't everybody. But like you said, like, if that was any Philadelphia person and that was their son or something like that.
Oh, without a doubt.
They would be flipping.
I agree. Which is why I said he also was thrust into the, you're the African-American quarterback.
Exactly.
And remember the Rush Limbaugh thing?
Exactly, and because that's why he stopped running so much. Because,
in
his mind, Don was holding up the baton for everybody. So he had to...
He had a lot of external pressure.
Exactly,
I agree with you.
Exactly.
And it's funny, because I was in on a lot of that stuff because Andy let me in, right? And Andy used to truck, because Andy's a... I don't care what anybody says, my man knows how to coach quarterbacks.
Exactly.
And he was trying to get him to move. Like, don't worry about it. Like, you got to move.
But he can't. If Don didn't do that, if he didn't take that more or less bullet, Vic wouldn't have been drafted number one.
So, anyway. Jay, great stuff, man. Thanks, brother. Take it easy. Now, so there we go. The genesis behind the Wentz resentment for Jay is McNabb. That makes sense.
He's not the only one. I've seen that. Like, I saw somebody respond to a tweet Sunday night saying, wow, you guys are getting giddy over this stat line. If McNabb had this stat line, you'd be ripping him, even though we did help him win. I saw stuff about you guys called Donovan McNabb soft, and he played on a broken ankle. Like, there's a lot of McNabb reasons why people don't like Carson Wentz or feel a certain type of way about Carson Wentz.
Yes.
Right. And I still believe that Donovan McNabb didn't get enough credit in his career. At the end,
Here's the problem with five. I'll say it over and over again. The biggest problem with five is twofold. One, draft night. And that made him not. And part of me, and I don't blame him for it. He did not trust anybody in this town after that. And I don't blame him. I get it. The other part was he never came up big in a big moment. Right? They won games, without a doubt. But the clutch, he never did it. Had they won it in 2004, it would have changed everything. Had they won it in 2002, when it was set up for him, right? It was set up. If you don't lose to Tampa, and he was coming off injury, but he was bad in that game. I mean, he was horrible. I was on the sidelines that game. He was horrible. Wasn't his fault against Carolina. The receivers were just tragically bad. Tampa could have won if you'd make some plays. Carolina, I mean the receivers were shameful. And then you had the Super Bowl thing. And it's a shame because if he wins, he's revered in town. But after that, and remember, the first 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, four seasons, people loved him. Way more love than hate. Way more love than hate. Wentz has the big year, and he gets usurped by Foles. And then that was his downfall. And he's still, the ghost of Foles is still around. Until he wins it, the ghost of Foles will be the only way he can extinguish it and kill it is if he wins. It's Cuz Radio Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic.
And this is Andrew South, Tunis. Basketball fans, while the finals are here and FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino is ready to support your betting needs. FanDuel Sportsbook has over 400 basketball betting markets with markets as awesome as the first player to make or miss the first basket. It's that awesome. It's that simple. It's that exciting. FanDuel Sportsbook also has topical pregame super boosts and in-game boosts so you can continue betting on the best odds and promotions. Don't forget their same game parlays. I'm a fan of those. FanDuel Sportsbook, it's the only place with the same game parlay for the finals, where you can combine multiple bets from one matchup or team into a single parlay. Here's one more reason to try FanDuel Sportsbook. New users can place their first bet risk-free on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $1,000 back in site credit. If you don't win, there's no strings attached. So if you want to go same single game parlay, I already do like LA, the team in purple and gold, to win tonight. I think they actually win the series in five. But if you want to parlay the overs in both Anthony Davis and LeBron James, LeBron 28.5, Anthony Davis 29.5. I like them to both hit the over. I think they have huge games. So, boom, single game parlay that. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to place your basketball finals bet today with promo code FANATIC. That's promo code FANATIC. Must be 21 plus and present PA. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
11 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. Happy Tuesday to all. Hanging out. Cuz Radio with the Tunis. And everybody sit tight. It's an NFL. We're talking a lot about Carson, talking a lot about, obviously, what transpired Sunday night. And joining us, and we want to get the national viewpoint from the NFL Network and a South Philadelphia native and my relative. He is doing big, big things, Mike Garofalo. What do you say, Mikey G?
What's happening, buddy?
What's going on? How's the family?
Everybody's great. You?
Good, buddy. Good. Everything's going well.
Doing well?
Yeah, everybody's doing good. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate that. A couple things. I just wanted to get your go through the kind of what's been happening so far through the first quarter of the season and what you see, what you hear. Let's start off. We'll start off local, and then I want to branch out. So Eagles at 1-2-1, very much alive. We'll get to the Cowboys in a second. But what's your Eagles takeaway for the first quarter of the season?
I feel like we are where we were last year, which is like looking at the schedule and looking at this division and saying, all right, we're just playing out the string until Eagles Cowboys in week 16 for the division. Like how far ahead did we see that coming last year? It was probably like a month and a half at least. And sure enough, that wound up being the case. I think that's where we are here. I mean, Washington, they could hang around. They could steal some games. But to me, it's probably Eagles, Cowboys. And if Dallas can get the defense figured out, which doesn't seem like it's in the brink of happening right now, then you worry about them a little bit. But I mean, right now the Eagles tied that game last week. And I said, all right, so assuming a 500 record is what it's going to take to get done, they'd have to go 8-5 against a really tough schedule. And I'm like, well, they're done. But you're watching the Cowboys just flounder here and you're saying, maybe it's 7-8-1 that gets it done.
Right.
I guess the
question is, how bad is that Cowboys defense? And educate us on why it's been such a disaster for them.
Yeah, I mean, people are questioning Jalen Smith's effort, but I don't. To me, it's not the effort. To me, it's the understanding of what's going on here, because he's supposed to be the guy really dictating things for the front seven and just apparently incapable of doing it. And they've been trying so hard to make him into that guy. Like he's been elected captain when really, a lot of the other guys are thinking other guys have been worthy of that. And this is not just this year. This has been last year. The Van Der Esch is down. He's a guy that's kind of the glue for that front seven as well. And they're going to get him back at some point. So really up front, there's just a mess. And I know you're focusing on the secondary, but the front's supposed to really dictate things and cover these things. And that's why it's a problem for them right now. And they tried. I mean, they've tinkered a little bit. Mike Nolan had Everson Griffin and DeMarcus Lawrence standing up as linebackers the first couple of weeks. And they were saying, we're really not comfortable doing that. So he let them get the hands in the ground and go forward instead of dropping in the coverage a lot more. And, it had minimal impact. It really did. So they're a mess right now.
And I see McCarthy getting a lot of heat early, 4 games into the tenure, and he's getting some heat.
Somebody asked me if he could be one and done. I don't think so. Listen, when the owner is the general manager and he's the one supplying the talent and the results don't follow, it's not like you can go to the owner and say, hey, it's the GM. It's not my problem. That's not going to work there. So I don't think he's one and done. I don't think he's forgotten how to coach. But he may have to, at some point, sacrifice Mike Nolan to save himself.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. That's incredible. I guess one of the other things, quarter poll surrounding the Eagles is, and you're right, the division, it's amazing. The Giants are still a mess, and no Saquon. What I mean, did you think they would be this big of a mess?
Well, before we get there, how about your boy Matt Rhule, who is the best quarterback in the game, and goes 2-0 in his first two games?
Yes,
like So I'm sitting here, you know, ready to make excuses for the Giants. They lost Saquon. There are no excuses when Matt Rhule is doing what he's doing. Now, granted, the Giants have played a tough schedule, and outside of that San Francisco game when the wheels just came off early, you know, they've made these teams work for it. These games have all been close, and the Pittsburgh game, I know it was a 10-point win, but they made them work for it. And last week against the Rams, they frustrated an offense that had played extremely well against the Eagles and the Bills in recent weeks. So the Giants are gonna jump up and bite somebody soon, and it could be the Cowboys. They've got the Cowboys this week, right? I've got my weeks correct. Yeah,
yes.
I believe so. You know, it's at some point they're gonna win a game. They are on the verge of doing it, and it could have ramifications in this division. I mean, they're not gonna jump into contention. I never saw them as anything better than, let's say, 6-10. But I just go back to last year and watching that team just be a dead fish for games where they had to compete and they had to show up. You're not going to get that from the Giants this year. They're at least going to make you work for it.
It's astounding, right? And the Redskins are still the Redskins, although they, you know, God bless them, they compete. Mike Garafolo, by the way, with us on the Comcast Business Hotline, NFL Network. But you said it. I mean, again, this division is woeful. What's the issue with the Eagles? When you look at the Eagles, and same old is the same thing at receiver. We know that Jalen Reagor's hurt. But again, the bad drafting has really come home to roost, and people get agitated when they see the likes of the DK Metcalfs and all those other receivers making plays.
Yeah, I go back and forth on this because when you talk about the bad drafting, I mean, there's been good and bad. And there's, I saw a left tackle on Sunday who was a 7th-round project that is developing. And, you know, if he turns into your left tackle for a while.
Oh, yeah, no, without a doubt.
So I've heard the draft and develop thing, and I get it. And there's questions about guys like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, excuse me. And some other guys, and I know nobody loves Jalen Hurts at this point. I get that and all that stuff, but you know, I never really quite know where to put the blame on that. I mean, is it guys not developing as a coaching staff, or is it guys not spotting the talent? And I find it hard to believe that an organization that has drafted guys like Lane Johnson and Fletcher Cox and you know, Derek Barnett, who's showing up as well, and just, I mean, you can go over and over. I mean, I just find it hard to believe that suddenly they've lost their touch. So I think you gotta, if this continues and at the end of the year and you see where it is, you may have to make some tough assessments on this coaching staff. But it's still early, and they still, you know, hope that some of these guys are going to show up. And Reagor, I can't knock Reagor for getting hurt, especially when he was.
Nobody's knocking Reagor. Off to the side for a second and saying, all right, well, the blind spot has been at wide receiver. The clear blind spot has been at wide receiver. I mean, it's amazing that we're having the same conversations about Wentz and he's throwing to Travis Fulgham. Like, I mean, that's absurd.
A dying, too, by the way. And supposedly Fulgham had a huge week in practice last week where he really earned Wentz's confidence, and so that allowed him the chance to go to him in that spot, or the confidence to go to him in that spot. So,
well, you get my point. I mean, my point is that they have no proven. There's no weapons. We cry about weapons all the time, and it's the same thing. Tight end, 12 personnel. You can get guys from the outside that can play.
Well, he's coming back, supposedly. And we'll see. I mean, if Alshon gets back and all the preseason chatter that mentally he was in a much better place than he had been the last couple of years, if you can get him back and get him confident and listen,
can he run out of mashed potatoes or
hold
what?
On. For all for all the talk of Nick Foles puts it up and gives his guys a chance to catch the ball, he did that on Sunday against the Colts, and it didn't work that well. So there's an upside and a downside to that. You got to know when to do it. And I think that Carson Wentz certainly can learn a little bit more when to do it. And if he can do it and trust Alshon and get himself a number one and a guy who's on the outside making plays. And the other one is, you know, Deshaun comes back and he stays healthy, but I don't know that you can bank on that at this point, right? I mean,
you can't bank on either of the two. First of all, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what you say. That Alshon Jeffrey contract was horrible. It was a horrible contract. Well,
the second time when they adjusted it.
Yeah.
That's what really themselves in.
Exactly.
They added guaranteed money. Yeah, not the first time. The first time they rewarded him when he was playing well and everything was going great, awesome. But the second time, when they locked in the money and really handcuffed themselves to what they could do this year, that's the one that was an issue for them. That was the piece that was an issue.
Yeah. I hear the baby. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, well.
Mike Garafolo, the little angel. That's right. Right here, 97.5 The Fanatic, and Mikey is the mainstay on the NFL Network. Mike, the COVID scare that the NFL has had and caused the cancellation of the game, what are you hearing surrounding the whole thing? I know the NFL had the conference call, and they were talking about taking this thing serious, fines, masks, the whole thing. Would they kind of fool with the schedule a little bit if there was some more cancellations or postponements? What are you hearing overall there?
What do you mean fool with the schedule?
Would you add a COVID week? Would you of games that need to be?
Oh yeah.
Made up?
I mean, listen, they'll do that and postpone the Super Bowl. And remember, you got that built-in bye week that could go away, which I think the last time that happened, if I'm not mistaken, was the, sorry, this is going to be a harsh reminder, but Tampa Bay.
9/11,
Oakland,
yeah.
Super Bowl.
No, you're right, 0-2. Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, because
San Diego.
They would have gone right there and played the following week. I think that's the last time there was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
No bye. You know, they'll move it and they'll postpone. They will try to get every single game in. I mean, that's the most important part to them before they start canceling things or doing that. So they'll do everything they possibly can to make that happen. And but what you're seeing with this Tennessee thing is, you know, the league making it clear that this is not a NFL problem. This is a Titans problem, right? And I think they're going to get dinged. I really do. I don't know what the penalties are going to be, but as part of this review, because there's questions about, you know, people not wearing the contact tracers like they were supposed to, and maybe guys getting into the building with symptoms when even though they tested negative. And so I think you're going to get something that comes out here and says, you know, we're going to make an example of a team that didn't follow the protocols closely. And let's be clear, no one else should be lax here, because we got a season that's on the line and can be disrupted in a hurry. This is the easier part, because we haven't gotten to the byes yet, and that allowed for some flexibility. You get beyond the bye, there are no flexibility points, and so it's going to be interesting. I thought they should have, and this is just me, built in a second bye.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't know how that would have happened. Maybe you just... You could have even, you know, paused everybody for a week instead of having to schedule it. But I really thought that, you know, they should have given themselves more flexibility. And I thought they were going to. And just at some point they said, no, this is going to be a regular schedule. There's not like movable weeks in there like some people thought they were going to be. It was a standard schedule as much as they could possibly make it. And I think that they left themselves little room here for error.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that as well, especially since there was some talk about pushing back the Super Bowl to President's Day weekend, which always made sense.
Well, which they could still do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they could still do that. But, you know, if you scheduled it and just said, hey, look, this is going to be a one-time thing.
I know.
We're going to add a second bye. Let's see how. And you could even use that as a test run, you know, if everything went normal, to say, hey, maybe we'll do a second bye, you know, going forward for teams. I know they don't want to stretch the season. I believe the networks didn't want to stretch the season. They kind of like how it's structured right now. At least that was
that was explained to me. So, but this is
why. Can I interrupt you real quick? Why is that? Because the second buy is more inventory, and
you would think, right?
Right, and you know, every time it comes out, like the most watched television shows of the week, it's all NFL games. I don't know why the networks would not want an expansion of it.
I don't understand that, to be honest with you. I really don't. And I think that it's something that they should look at, especially with, you know, the way TV is consumed today and the fact that live sports is your last bastion of you've got to tune in live and not watch it on DVR. But, you know, listen, they added the inventory via the extra playoff game. So there's more revenue. There's more inventory for the networks there. So they'll start there. But I just, you know, again, I go back to, I think it would have been more for flexibility purposes to have that second buy. But listen, I mean, you know, there's still confidence here. There's still confidence from teams, from the league that this was just a blip. We're going to have another situation where teams got multiple positives. But you know, we'll be able to mitigate that with some of the protocols that they're putting in place. If they think a team's been exposed, now you got to wear the mask or the face shield on the practice field. Meetings in open air as much as possible and spaced out and all that stuff. So we'll see, Ant. I mean, I'm hopeful that it gets in and nothing's disrupted and the Super Bowl's on time and we have a full season because people love their football, number one. But number two, there's a lot of people relying upon this, you know?
Yeah, well, without a doubt. Without that. Hey, last thing, just curious. Who do you like? Who do you say right now, all right, we are four games in the book. Watch out for these teams because they can become really, really dangerous. We have to laud, like you said, we laud Carolina. And we laud Buffalo and Sean McDermott, the job he's done as well.
Yeah, and they've opened it, you know, that offense, they've opened it up, I think, more than they actually even planned. I think Josh Allen has shown them a little bit more because the plan was, all right, you know, not just because the Diggs were going to be this high-flying offense, we're going to still have the strong running game and our passing game come off of that. And they've opened it up a little bit more because he's shown them that they can handle that. He surprised me. I had questions of him coming out and, even the first couple of years in the league, I didn't think that he could be this kind of guy, and he is proving that differently right now, man. He looks outstanding. I still think, if you said to me, who's got the best chance to go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs in the playoffs and win a game, I think it's the Steelers. I truly do. That's the team that, because give me Ben in that spot where he's won games in the playoffs before. And not only, they got a strong defense. Yeah, but they've got a strong defense coming off the edges. And they've got guys in T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree that can make plays. So that has been the team to me. I said, if anybody's going to beat them in the postseason, I think it's Pittsburgh. So we'll see. I mean, you're going to get a good look at them on Sunday. The Niners win was huge for the Eagles. They badly needed that. I'd be surprised if they go back-to-back here, though.
I feel you, my brother. Listen, God bless the family, all right? Watch yourself. Be careful, as always. Stay safe. We love you, buddy.
You got it. You too, Ed. Enjoy your football, everybody. Hopefully it's going to last.
That's right. Hopefully. God, please. Mike Garofalo on the Comcast Business Hotline, NFL Network. You can check him out. All right, we're going to come back. We'll open up the phone lines again. We'll talk I do enjoy the kind of the football talk, and Josh Allen has played fabulous football. Are you paying attention to him, too?
Yes, he's had a little shekels down on that last Bills game, and I watched it. He's been great. When he went down,
yes,
I got worried.
His hand
for the Buffalo Bills
himself with the hand, but
yeah, you can tell it shot up all up and down his arm. Yeah. But no, he's playing well. By the way, I just want to let you know, John Clark is letting us know that in PA, you can now have 15% capacity at sporting events as early as this Friday. Now it's up to Mayor Kenny, to then approve it for Eagles games. But right now, PA is approving at least 15% capacity at up to 7,500 fans.
Well, let's talk about that, because would you go to a game knowing that it's, you know, we're getting the fall, winter, and the whole thing? We'll talk about it. Hey, listen, I will tell you this. Playing fantasy football, fantasy sports, period, won't get you into shape. I should know. It's time to trim down, get yourself healthy. It only takes 40 days to lose 20 to 40-plus pounds with NJ Diet. NJ Diet's contractually guaranteed money-back program starts with bioenergetically personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, and blood work. Then NJ Diet uses DNA testing to create your ideal diet plan and workout regimen to help you keep it off for the rest of your life. You're not sure you can do it alone? NJ Diet is with you every step of the way. You're fully monitored by their certified staff to make sure you're burning fat and not just losing water, right? You'll also have access to the doctor's personal email and phone number. NJ Diet is committed to keeping for you to keep the weight off, right? That's it. That's what's good about it. It's all natural. There's no shots, no hormones, no surgery. NJ Diet offers live online video consultations. Also have locations throughout the Northeast. You ready? Including Princeton and now open in Cherry Hill. So right here, real close by in Cherry Hill. You can check them out. They're amazing stories. Lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Contractually guaranteed. Visit NJDiet.com or call 855-5NJ-DIET. That's 855-5NJ-DIET.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
11:30. By the way, 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. What'd you learn from Mike? I was surprised, too, about the NFL not building in an extra COVID week.
Yeah, we talked about that, you and I, like, way back.
Yeah.
And we were surprised that they didn't do anything like that. But it's going to be interesting. I didn't even think about this, what they could do to the Titans and make an example of them. I honestly, that's not even a thought that crossed my mind when he said that. I was like, wow, they could. Because the baseball didn't do anything to the Marlins, right? Like, it's not like the Marlins got any sort of penalty or fine or anything. Yeah, and football right away, I mean, I'm sure Mike knows something that might come down that later this week we hear Titans lost a draft pick or they're fined or something. That's going to be interesting to see. It's a storyline to pay attention to.
Yes, it is, my brother. Yes, it is. All right, so as we sit here, and the news of the day is that Pennsylvania is allowed 15% capacity for sporting events. That means, should Mayor Kenny open it up, the Eagles could have some fans. Now, the next game would be Baltimore in 2 weeks. You're at Pittsburgh Sunday and then Baltimore the following week. And here's my question. You going? You in? If it gets ratified and in 2 weeks against the Ravens, are you in? 15% capacity. How about you, Junis?
I'm not ready yet. I'll be completely honest with you.
You have a nurse of a wife.
Yes, that's a big part of it. You know, I got to be careful with everything because I can't pass it on to her, who works in a hospital, who will be working with, you know, COVID patients. So it's not like I can. I don't want to go gallivanting around and possibly get it and then give it to her and then she gives it to patients and then we got a problem or makes things worse for patients. So I have to be careful. So I would pass. If I wasn't married to a nurse, I'd still be probably questioning it. I like watching at home as it is. So there's that. But it looks like, and I will say this, The teams that have allowed fans in the stands so far, it does look separated. Right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You can tell.
I've seen it in college.
And
yeah.
I go, all right, they're making it safe. Now, you still have people in your section, and it's still people that you probably don't know. I doubt that people bought out the entire section. Say, some people may have, but I'm sure you're still surrounded by people that you don't know. And we see it all the time. They do the cutaways to the fans, and they're supposed to be wearing masks, and they're not. So, you know, I would probably still feel kind of weirded out because I go, I don't know who this guy is right next to me, yelling and screaming and spitting all over the place.
Yeah.
You know.
So here's the thing. I agree with you. I wouldn't do it. Now, I wouldn't do it not because of anything other than I worry about my family.
Right.
If I got no family, it's just me, I'd do it.
If I'm still in college.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm in it. But I got a family. You got responsibilities. You can't afford to get sick. You don't know how you're going to react to it if you do get it. And you don't want to bring it home. And to me, it's odd in that just looking at it without any kind of politics or any of the nonsense that's out there, right?
Right.
Because that's how I view it. Sans all the nonsense and the noise. You look at it and you say, huh, in New York City, they're starting to close schools because the numbers are going up. All we've heard is fall and winter and flu season. I think I'm good for the time being.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I could take a season off from going to the game. Now, I'm used to going to the games, but I could take a one season off from going down. That's how I would look at it.
Yeah.
That's how I do look at it.
I think so, too. And again, you don't know, right? Like the Kansas City Chiefs were the first team to have fans in it. And remember, there was that report that somebody within a section tested positive. And I don't think, forgive me, I didn't check, but I don't think there's been anything made of that since then. Like, I guess nobody else got it.
I don't know. And, yeah, I saw the same thing you did. I saw the CDC came out with that it's airborne. That's which is scary.
Well, then they took it down because they don't know.
No, they just said yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, because we don't know. We're all swimming in dark waters.
Exactly. So I just look at it like, yeah, it's common sense tells you, hey, you know what? I love going to the movies, but I don't need to go to movies.
Right.
Until, you know, we got a little direction.
Listen, I look at it this way. I limit the people I see, which probably limits the chances that I get it. Now, I still do the outdoor dining. I go down to Main Street to the outdoor dining, but everything's separated. You know, you wear your mask unless you're at the table. So, but if I'm at an Eagles game and knowing you, the person that you are too, something good happens, what do you want to do? You want to celebrate with the person next to you. You want a high five, you want a hug, you want a cheers, you want to do all this kind of stuff. You don't know what's going on with that person,
right?
Especially if you don't know them.
Well, it's true, and I got an issue. Like, see, like I also need to be more responsible. I try to be as best I can, but my nature is I'm a hugger and kisser, right? Like, I'm a teddy bear type person, right? Like, I enjoy it. Like, you know. I got to stay, like, I'm not feeling well, so I don't come, like, I've tried not to come in there and punch you and have some, you know, rough you up, have, you know, like I usually do.
Right.
Right, like, you know, like, brotherly love.
Yes.
Right? So I realize, you know, not that I have anything, but I don't feel good, so I'm not going to come near you. But that's just common sense. Like, to me, it's just a common sense thing. But I could see where people go, especially if, you know, if you're a young dude, you got no family, you want to go watch the football. I mean, what's, you know?
Yeah, of course. So, I'm sure there's going to be people who go, and I'm not going to sit here and go, wow, you're idiots for going.
Like, I'm curious to see, you
we'll
know,
do.
How people respond. Would you go if they let you in to watch birds? Are you in? We'll continue with the Wentz and Simmons conversation. If you just joined us on the table, we just want to find out from those people who are hypercritical, and you know we are, about Wentz and Simmons. And there's a lot of vitriol, like nastiness about it. I want to know why. I'll give you 30 seconds uninterrupted. Give me the genesis. We had a guy, Jay, who you know, Jay from West Philly, calls a lot. And Jay said, it's rooted in McNabb. That's where it is, because he felt like McNabb at the end didn't get a fair treatment and got roughed up. And so he didn't like people calling Wentz early the best quarterback in Eagles franchise history. And that rubbed him the wrong way. And that turned him against Wentz. Listen, there's all these subconscious little petty things that we fall prey to. Let's go to Mendy. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Mendy.
What's up, Dan? How you doing?
Good, buddy. What's cool? What's happening, brother?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm working right now. Taking a little break. Talk to you.
Nice.
I want to talk about Wentz.
Yes.
I just want to say, that's my guy. That's my QB. He played out on Sunday. I knew he would. I knew he was going to wake up, because I refuse to believe that man is cooked. There's no way. It just can't be true. Like, playing in 2017 and everything he did. I just think, I mostly blame Howie for not giving him what he needs to succeed. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I don't know. Like,
when you hear, because you listen to the shows, you listen to The Fanatic, and you hear all the stuff, yeah, and you're on social media. When you hear all the Wentz bashing, how's that? Like, how do you feel about that?
No, it makes me mad. It makes me mad because, like, I'm a big group of friends or a big group message, and I have, like, four or five people that they just, like, one bad throw, and they're like, all right, it's time to start talking to new QB, or we need a new QB, we got to trade, it's Wentz's done, and just, like, bro, first quarter, let him get warmed up. Let him get used to it. Let him get his rhythm in the game and everything. It just makes him mad because, I don't know, like, he just can't be done. He's too good.
I know.
He's still last year and everything. And then with Ben, too, I get mad with Ben because I think he's only about 30% unlocked. We still got another 70% to see what he can do. And I think in about 5 years or so, I think this is going to be Ben's league. I believe that with Doc and everything, too.
I'm with you. I think you and I are kind of on those fronts. That's kind of what we share. And I just don't get, like, hate, like, the hate. Like, I would understand it if the guy was, like, gave you attitude or he was unlikable. And I understand it more from Ben than I do Wentz, because Ben can be a little cool. Like, I understand that. And I understand why that he's not kind of fuzzy in that way. But Wentz is like, you know, friggin' Richie Cunningham. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel you.
He's like a little puppy dog.
But I like that, and I don't like that, but I feel like he needs to start, like, when he has a bad game, I want to see him get angry, like, this Sunday.
Yeah.
I didn't see him put his head down. I didn't see him rub his head. He didn't do nothing. Yes. Like, did a bad play. He got off the field, and his head was up, and I was like, all right, this is a different Wentz.
I agree.
Shifty Wentz. I think we got to let him, like, I think him playing scared, him in his head, is what's messing him up. And, like, this Sunday, I think he finally forgot about it, and, like, if he got hurt.
I'm with you, man. That's a great call, Mendy. It really is. I'm with you. Thanks, brother. No, I saw the same thing that he did. There, you know that there's these petty little things that creep into our subconscious. I'm like that a lot. Listen, you're a sports fan. It's impossible not to be. So, like, I get mad, like my buddy Vinny, right? Vinny, soon as the pick was made, he sends over Wentz. Wintz.
That's a violation.
Right? And I'm like, I know it's coming. Stop. The Wentz. Right? But he was a Folesman. Right? Like, he loved Foles. And I think there's a part of him that goes, yeah, all right. And I think that, you know, Jay's McNabb, Vinny is Foles. And therefore, they go Wentz. And then you and I, Blanche. Right?
Yeah. Nick Foles had a good game, right?
Yeah, but see, you can't do that. That's not fair either.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but that's not fair either.
But Nick Foles didn't have a good game.
Yeah, but so what? That doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's the full. A lot of the people are the Foles crowd that constantly come after Wentz, and he had an incredible comeback win against Atlanta. Now Atlanta's allowed a lot of comeback wins,
right?
But he had an incredible comeback win, and he deserved all the credit that he got. But
yeah, but that's not bridging the gap.
You were quiet last week,
but bringing that up is not bringing bridging the chasm. The aim is to bridge the chasm. Not further the moat.
I don't think that bridge is opening or closing. It's staying open. There's you know, ships going underneath it all day.
Well, I'm trying to close.
That bridge ain't closing.
Tyree, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Ty Guy, what's happening?
What's up, cuz? What's going on,
How you
man?
Feeling, you been brother?
You've been keeping me sane. I will say that through this whole debacle of 2020 and everything going on, especially this season. But I got to say something. When you say your friend Vinny, right?
Yes.
I'm going to do yourself a favor. Go look up how many touchdowns Nick Foles has in his career, and then go look at Carson Wentz, and then we can stop having that conversation. It's not even close. Like, it infuriates me that people say that. And I go, you know what I said to somebody after he won against Atlanta? I said, it's Atlanta. I said, when they're 3-3, week 6 or 7, but let's talk then. Because he can't put a team on his back the way that Wentz does. And when people say, oh, Carson didn't win a Super Bowl. Look at that Super Bowl that he was, Super Bowl 52. We'll look at it. If that was a murder, Foles and Wentz are going to jail. Wentz is the accomplice to that. If Wentz did not go 10-2 in that season, we are not in the Super Bowl. We're not number one. He won the Heat. He won the first seed when he left out of that game. Like, people had this revisionist history, like Nick Foles could do what Carson Wentz did in that 12 games or that 13. He can't do that. Like, he's just not that guy. And it's no knock to him. He's a good guy. I love everything that Nick Foles did for us, but he'll never be a Carson Wentz. And when it's all said and done, and Carson did it 50K or something like that for his career, we're not going to be talking about Nick Foles. I will say this, though, and I wanted to get to this point before I get cut off.
Yeah.
I really feel like the front office is doing Wentz as much disservice as they did Donovan McNabb, because I love both of the guys, and I know, you know, McNabb wasn't the guy to get you all the way there, and I get that. And I always hear you say he's passive-aggressive. I hate when people say that, but I understand it. But when you look
at... Hey, by the way, if Donovan has legitimate receivers and not a kook, let's face it. I, you know what? It's five needed to be the adult, to quote Brett Brown, right? With him and T.O. But T.O. is a kook. If he has a normal guy, then he wins. Like, if he's got Marvin Harrison.
Oh, he wins.
He wins.
Not even close. Reggie wins. But this is what I will say to that. When people say, oh, yeah, he should have fought for T.O. Does everybody forget he was the one that broke into the office during the meeting and forced them to go get T.O. in the first place? It wasn't McNabb's fault that they lowballed him on the back end, or you know,
the problem was
it was a contract.
Right. No, but the problem here's where T.O. blamed five.
Oh, well, of course.
Well, he didn't go to bat for him, and then there was a bit of jealousy. Like, that was real. I'm taking myself out of it, and I would be upset too, right? If I'm there the whole time, and all of a sudden this dude comes in, and all of a sudden they're chanting his name, and all I'm getting is my balls broken, then I feel a certain way too.
I just said this to my boss earlier, because I was talking about Jerry Jones and how he wants to get all the credit. He wants his name on the Lombardi, and that's his problem. That's why they'll never be successful. And if you guide me to $1 million, or I guide you to $1 million, you can scream from the top of Mount Everest, you're the reason we got. I don't care. Like, I don't understand these egos. If you really want to win, like, I've never heard Tom Brady go up there and say it's all me. That dude doesn't care who gets the. I don't care who gets the credit.
Yeah.
I want to have so many trophies. Like, and I bring up the Cowboys because they fired the greatest coach they ever had. They could have an embarrassment of riches if they never fired Jim Johnson. But because you have a maniacal owner that wants to be the figurehead of everything, he ruined it. And it makes me laugh at them. Like, I'm like, you're never going to win with that guy up in the booth. And everybody's like, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I do know what I'm talking about.
I hear you. You're right. You're right across the board.
But with McNabb and Wentz, I promise you, they're doing 20 receivers in 5 years. Come on. Think about it. Dorial Green-Beckham is no different than Charles Johnson and being, you know, McNabb's first 1,000-yard receiver or whatever. But, like, those names, like, who are these guys that he had to play with? And both of problem. Like, if you're doing yourself a disservice when you get a quarterback.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the receivers are – no, it's laughable. The receivers that have come in here, it's ridiculous. It really is. Ty, great stuff. What's that, babe? Go ahead.
I was going to say, he won us the division with the hot dog vendor and the beer guy. Like,
he did. I agree. Listen, you're right on, brother. Right on. Thank you, Tyree. I agree with you. I do. Chris in Jenkintown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, what's up, cuz?
What's happening, Chris? How are you, brother?
It's been a while since I called, a long time listener.
Yeah, man. How you been? You okay?
Good. This must be the segment for the Wentz, because I love the kid. I think he's a winner. You know, as much as they handcuffed him at the Eagles at the draft, and hear me out here, cuz. And we talk, and you probably talked about it all the time about, you know, going up for C.D. Lamb, and then we missed out on Ruggs.
Yeah.
You know? That's besides the point. We couldn't get him. But Darius Slay comes in here, and we needed help in the secondary. I like that. But then we need our wide receivers. And then Denzel Mims was there for our second pick, and we didn't take him. That's more, just more handcuffing the kid.
I agree.
Like you said. You do agree, right?
Yes, 100%.
I mean, like you said, this guy's on a decent team with one good receiver. He's putting up extraordinary numbers. Don't you say?
He didn't play well the first three games, but I agree with
absolutely
you.
Absolutely not.
Think about what he had to endure, right? And tell me the quarterbacks that survive it. Upheaval on his offensive line. And nobody to throw to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it makes matters worse when guys are in and out, too. You got Lane Johnson in and out. You got DeSean Jackson coming in and out. And that makes it worse because you can't count on it.
Yeah, injuries are all part of the game, but it just seems like the Eagles the last couple of years have been just really good.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Let me ask you a question. Another question. Where was the receiver, D-Jack? Where was he last week?
He's hurt.
Oh, he is hurt?
Yes.
How long is he out for, you know?
I don't think he'll come back Sunday, but Doug said he's still like day-to-day, week-to-week type of thing.
Well, I think the kid's a winner, and, you know, I'm holding out hope for the Eagles, because if they do get Pittsburgh a game, or, you know, I'm saying they can win the game, actually.
Here's the thing.
I'm confident.
Know where the Cowboys are. The big picture is you could win the division. Chris, great stuff. You could win the division. 610-632-0975. That's how you join us. Cuz Radio with Chunis. We'll also talk to Jeff McClain. Get the inside view from Jeff. Covers the Eagles. As well as your calls. Good stuff. Keep it coming. What comes at us relentlessly? Well, life. That's right. It comes at us hard these days. And we're like running around 100 miles an hour, stressed, exhausted, run down. I feel it right now, right? We're dehydrated. You get headaches and body aches. You're working overtime trying to protect ourselves from getting sick. Well, this is where I found Exceva. Exceva vitamin infusion therapy. Even a caveman like myself can embark on caveman logic. And it's been a game changer. In fact, I'm like overdue. I got to get there. Imagine flooding your body with the vitamins and nutrients and amino acids and hydration you need to boost your immune system, elevate your mood, energy level, replenish your reserves. It's amazing. You just go in there and you get an IV of goodness for your body. You disappear from life for 45 minutes, and that's all it takes. And administered all that vitamins and nutrients and hydration administered by a board certified nurse at one of Exceva's modern infusion suites. Relax in massage chair, enjoy a snack, whatever you want, flat screen TV. I just close my eyes. This is how I recharge. To learn more about Exceva's vitamin therapies, visit axiva.com. That's AXIVA.com. Exceva, replenish, recharge, relief.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's noon across the Delaware Valley. You know what that means. Time now for the Fanatic Football Pool presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Here's the deal. If you are the fifth caller to 215-263-0975, you're going to win $100 courtesy of Parks Casino and Sportsbook. You're also going to be qualified for the grand prize, the Fanatic Football Pool and everything inside it. It's a big baby pool with all kinds of goodies, like the Landis Block Fire Pit, the $1,000 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook, the snowblower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons, you name it, the HERS, chips for a year, you got it. So be the fifth caller, and you'll get a question, you answer it right, you'll be qualified. That's the Fanatic Football Pool. Make sure you call us right now, 215-263-0975. Now, I want to get some inside stuff. And joining us, who does a fabulous job every week, he joins us, and he's terrific at covering his team. Very, very thorough. From the Inquirer, Inquirer.com. Follow him on Twitter. I do. Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jeffrey?
Hey, Anthony.
Hey, buddy. So first, news of the day about Pennsylvania allowing 15% capacity for sporting events. What do you think the Eagles' appetite is for that?
Well, it doesn't depend what the state, I mean, what the city says. So right now, they probably wouldn't be permitted to have fans in there. I mean, they're obviously going to be in concert with the mayor's office in terms of figuring out whether they can allow them to have fans or not.
Right. But I'm just wondering.
Right now, yeah.
I was just curious from their standpoint.
I think they want to have fans there as soon as they can. You know, the question is whether the city will allow it.
Right.
Well, or whether they can influence the city to allow it.
Yeah. Well, you know, listen, they wield a lot of weight in this town.
They do. So, you know, there's no reason to think that it won't happen sometime soon. By the Ravens game, I'm not entirely sure. They have the Giants after that at home. No, the Giants on the road Thursday night.
Yes.
And then the Cowboys game would be a good, yeah. I mean, that could be the game that you would
November 1st
earmark. Yep.
Circle
battle for the first place losing NFC East teams.
Yeah, but guess what? You know what? They're in it. When it comes to the division.
Oh, absolutely.
They're in it.
I mean, so, you know, there are only four games in those, but the quarter poll, they took a step in the right direction Sunday. It wasn't exactly pretty, but they got to win. A loss there would have, I wouldn't say devastating because, again, the NFC East is wide open, but, I mean, you know, no wins through four games is pretty bad. This way they can, I mean, look, they're going to be in it for the next two months at least, barring they just totally collapse.
Right. And I think
with the Giants on the schedule, you have two games against them in a three game span. You have the Browns aren't entirely world beaters either. You got to go on the road there, but you know, I'd imagine they'll still be hanging around come November.
Without a doubt. I mean, the Cowboys are legitimately bad. You know,
Cowboys, they have actually even more coaching staff than they had previously.
Yeah. It's amazing. All right, let's talk about the home squad, your takeaways from Sunday night. And let's start with the quarterback because he was poised. And he played his heart out, man. He left his heart on the field, man. I thought he played a fabulous game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he left his heart on the field the previous week, or he does pretty much every week. I mean, yeah. No one can deny that Carson isn't trying his hardest. He cares probably almost too much. Sometimes you want the quarterback to be kind of a little more loose. And Carson, he grinds, but he grinded out of the win. And, using this term again, it wasn't pretty. But look, you look what was around him. The offensive line at one point had only one starter out of five, with Lane Johnson in and out of the lineup. Your wide receiver, I mean, you're throwing to guys like Travis Fulgham, who wasn't really even on the roster just this past week. So it's not like he's got the greatest cast of characters to work with. And as we saw late last season under similar circumstances, Carson played some of his best football last year, and this has now been some of his best football this year. Now, it was obviously a low bar after the first three games, but he's doing things that are probably a little more natural to him, and I think maybe that's why he was struggling early on. He's got these voices in his ear about protecting himself and not being aggressive and not getting injured. And you know what? I mean, it may happen again with the way the offensive line is and the way he's been out there running around. But that's just who Carson is. And at this point, you just may have to accept it because it's the how he feels most comfortable.
Listen, I'm with you. I am completely with you on every, kind of, because people look at, we talk about it all the time. How in the world, seriously, can he go out there with that cast of characters? It's amazing because you keep going, they got to put better guys around. Now, again, it's not their fault that Jalen Reagor got hurt because, that was the big deal. But again, you got Jalen Hurts out there, and that's ridiculous. Like, this whole Jalen Hurts thing has to stop. It just not doesn't work. I mean, I don't know. You see something different?
Well, I think they look at the offense and they say, we got to have something besides what we have in terms of if you're looking at the personnel straight up. And Jalen gives you a little bit of a curveball there. But, we've seen a couple fumbles now or plays that have gone backwards as opposed to forward. I don't know if it's as much on Jalen as it is on execution. Certainly the personnel plays a part in it as well at other spots in terms of blocking and when they call it. I mean, so, the plays haven't been exactly that inventive. I thought the first one they ran actually against the Rams was the most inventive one. When Carson kind of faked double screens and hit Dallas Goedert over the middle, Jalen was more of a decoy in that circumstance. But look, again, the personnel is not great, and you can point to the injuries, but the injuries have now been a 3-year running story more than most teams in the league, and that falls on the front office as well, because they're the ones who've turned over the medical staff repeatedly since winning the Super Bowl. It's hard to blame Doug and Carson for those faults, really, quite frankly. I mean, just look at all these other teams that have multiple wide receivers. I mean, just the Chiefs last night. Hardman is a guy that they barely use, and when you use him, you're like, holy moly, this is like their third, fourth best option receiving. And the Eagles don't even have anyone as good as him. Now, look, again, Reagor, I think, is going to develop into a starting caliber wide receiver, maybe even better than that. But he's not playing right now. He's hurt, and he's going to be hurt until November. And that factors into the evaluation of a player. And you're looking around the rest of the league and the guys who are drafted after him, Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk, you saw what he did in the game hurdling over Marcus Epps, and you had CeeDee Lamb, who the Eagles maybe perhaps could have traded up for. I mean, so it hurts to watch. And then, of course, you go back to the biggest mistake of them all is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. And I know he's hurt, but Travis Fulgham has now done more in one game than J.J. has done since being drafted last year.
I know. It's unbelievable, right? It's outrageous when you think about it.
And if I could just, one more thing, too. So your two highest paid guys, two of your highest paid guys, look, your two highest paid guys at wide receiver and two of your highest paid guys on the offense are Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson. And they're both hurt. And they're not, and even when they've been out there the last few years, it hasn't really been that exciting, say for one or two games from each of them. That's egregious. I mean, that's the, I don't know how to explain that. I mean, again, you gave these huge contracts to guys that had previously been injury prone and aging guys are now in their 30s and they haven't given you much of anything. Now, Alshon could be back this Sunday and DeSean missed the game with his hamstring, but I mean, are we to believe that DeSean's not going to end up back on the sideline with another soft tissue injury? Is, you know, is Alshon going to be how productive? We don't even know what we're going to get with from him. So, you know, look, they survived this week and they faced a team that was even more injured than they were and a team that had just a terrible quarterback who basically gave the Eagles three turnovers. This is going to be a problem. And this is not going to go away. And you're still missing the Dallas Goedert's. You're still missing other key players in offense. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom here, but you know, we're talking about the receiver position, and it's just amazing to me. But this has just been a long running. This has been the same story now for almost 4 years running.
I know. Over and over and over and over again. It's the same thing. After a while, it drives you insane. And I, you know, again, I don't know. I don't know what hamstrings dug. You got O-line issues. But again, I don't think the answer is Jalen Hurts. I just think it's ridiculous to keep trotting him out on the field. It's just, it's silly. It's not going to work.
Yeah. You got to come up with better plays. And then you had Adrian Killens in there playing like receiver. This is a kid that really pretty much more of a running back. I know that he can date. Played him at the slot a fair amount in training camp, and he's got some giddy up to him. But geez, when you're calling a guy from the practice squad and devising certain plays for him, and then, I mean, geez, again, but that's what they have in terms of personnel. I mean, it's not great, and it's not going to be great for the next few weeks here. They could have DeSean or Alshon Sunday, and that'll help you, but. Not having Dallas Goedert, it's a huge hole for them. And you saw what the 49ers did. They just doubled the heck out of Zach Ertz.
Right. Now, take him out of the game. That's exactly
what they took him out of the game, although I think Doug kind of did a little bit too. It's just like too many routes underneath where if he's getting doubled, why not take that way? They'll take two guys away and create a little more underneath. I mean, use him as a decoy that way. I know he's not always running those same routes, but just I saw so much of that. It was just like, just not, they're not going anywhere with this.
Yeah, I know. And it does worry you. I mean, it took Carson almost like to lay it all out on the field for him to win. I mean,
yeah. I mean, how many times did he escape from sacks? And, you know, there's nice to see them, the element of the running, and it seemed like, again, this was something that he had been fighting, that natural instinct to run, and that had been one of the ways in 2017 that he was able to kind of keep defenses on its toes. Can he move as well after knee surgery, the back issue, et cetera? Probably not, but he's still pretty good out there on the open field. The touchdown run was a great read on his own read. And he basically, I think, he juked the safety into the end zone. I mean, so he can do this with his legs. He's, you know, and he's been a little smarter, but I don't, again, when John DeFilippo was here, his message to Carson was like, I would like to see every game one first down with your legs. I just want to see to bring that element to the game. And I agree with that. Maybe even a little more than that, but just be smart, get out of bounds, slide. You know, there are a couple of times where he go forward again and took hits, and it's just like, you know, this is working, and I guess I know it's who Carson is, but just be smarter about it because you're going to get hurt again.
I know.
And that does nobody any good.
Wait, we're talking to Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com on the Comcast Business Hotline. What do you make of Alshon Jeffrey, really? I mean, what are you hearing about him? Can he move? Is he really going to be an answer? And what about the past? I mean, we didn't all just make that up. I mean, that was out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a little surprised he's still around, but I think also if you look at what's going on at wide receiver, that probably explains why he's still around. He looks fine when he's out there in practice. Well, I mean, he was out there pretty much every day during training camp, and he did some catching. He wasn't really running around very much, and now he's starting to move a little more, clearly. There's been some talk about him being in better shape, et cetera, but, I mean, George Alley asked, why wasn't he ever in great shape? You know, why wasn't he not in great shape, you know, or in his best shape? You're a wide receiver. You should always be in phenomenal peak condition. There's no excuse for you not to be in great shape. And I always thought that Alshon carried it a little heavier than most receivers. So if he is, I mean, good for him. And maybe that's got to certainly that needs to help him at this point in his career, because he's not nowhere near as fast as he used to be. Not that he was ever really a fast guy, but you're going to need to have some explosion. And like, he's always going to have that ability to pull in those jump balls. That's who Alshon is. But in terms of all the other drama, et cetera, I mean, yeah, I think at this point, there's so much stuff that goes on over the course of a year, a season. It's like, I bet you that's just old news at this point. I mean, again, the way I've always been, Alshon is not, he's not a loud guy. He's not, I don't think on the surface, he creates much problems at all. I think a lot of guys in the locker room do get along with him, but it was just what was going on behind the scenes and this, that, and the other thing. And maybe wasn't keen to how it would have been presented when the stuff did go public. As I was told, it got to the point where a player, one of the leaders on offense, had to go to him and confront him about it. We'll see. I think Carson was just kind of more mystified by it than anything. And look, I mean, it's his job to keep the team together, and I think that's how he views it. I don't think he's the type of guy that was going to hold any grudges or whatever. This is something that he's dealt with since the second year when there are all anonymous quotes about this, that, and the other thing. At this point, get him back in, see what he can do, and I don't think it'll have an effect unless, of course, you hear something, hear something else again.
The last thing is, where they got it right is, without a doubt, Darius Slay. He's looked phenomenal. I mean, he's played some great football, including kind of raking that ball out, punching that ball out with Kittle, or he could have tied the game.
Yeah, they needed him to make that play. Slay looks good. He's a legitimate, I hate using the word shutdown, but he's a legitimate corner, number one cornerback, let's say.
Yeah.
I mean, he can cover receivers and keep them in check. I want to see him against one of the top guys. He really hasn't kind of had that task again. I mean, Tyron McLaurin's a good receiver, but let's see how he does this weekend. It'll be interesting to see if he covers Juju the entire game. As a man defender, in terms of pressing, he's good. And they haven't had that. They haven't had a top receiver since Asante, and Asante wasn't really a man cover guy. He was an off guy. But you knew that side of the field was for the most part covered. And that's what you had with Darius. They haven't had that in a while. They got to figure out some other things on the defense, but I'll tell you what, the one thing they don't have to worry about, at least the last few weeks, has been the pass rush. It's been phenomenal. And, as Schwartz always says, as that engine goes, so goes the train.
That's right. That's right. Anyway, Jeff, great stuff, man, as always. Just keep it up. It's at least they're in it, and you have meaningful stuff.
We have stuff to work. Yeah, people will be hanging around for a little while. I mean, I don't know how fans feel about that. I'm sure there's a segment that says, why are you putting us through this? We want to start with the reconstruction of this franchise, start playing the younger players. Let's, move ahead with this, that, and the other thing. And I get that.
It's too soon.
Why not? Too soon. Just why can't you do it and also keep winning?
I agree. Good stuff, brother. Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Jeff McClain, who is terrific. Time now to play the Fanatic Football Pool.
This is the Fanatic Football Pool.
Listen to this, because we're going to meet Walter in a second. But just added yesterday a 24-hour rental of a Rolls Royce, courtesy of Imagine Lifestyles Luxury Rentals. Visit them at ImagineLifestyles.com. And how about this? Beer for a year. Courtesy of the Corona family of beers includes Corona Extra, Corona Light, Corona Premier, and Corona Seltzer. How's that, Judas?
That sounds good to me.
For a year. That's also in. This is unbelievable.
That's amazing.
I love it. All right. Let us meet our contestant for today, Walter from the Lehigh Valley. Walter!
Anthony, how you doing?
What's going on, Walter the Cook?
I'm awesome, man. This is really cool. Thanks so much.
Fantastic, brother. Fantastic. All right, I got this ready. Now, you'll know this, okay? You'll know this, so just make sure you let me give you the multiple choice.
Gotcha.
All right, brother. You won the $100 courtesy of Parks Casino. Now to be in the running for the Fanatic football pool and all the goodies inside. What wide receiver did the Eagles acquire prior to the 2004 season in a three-way trade involving the Niners and the Ravens? Was it A, Jerry Rice? Was it B, T-O? Was it C, Freddie Mitchell?
T-O.
Correct!
Yes!
Gosh, it went great.
My man, what's the one prize you want the most?
Oh, boy. I kind of like that Rolls Royce running around in there.
Nice. I could see you driving around in a nice, beautiful Rolls Royce rental from Imagine Lifestyles. You mean style, Walter.
Oh, that's fantastic, because I remember seeing T.O. come to Bethlehem that year, man. Oh, that's right. Awesome.
That's right. Good stuff, buddy. Hold on. We'll get all your stuff. That's pretty cool. Don't forget, you listen every day, man. That Fanatic football pool, I love it. And they add new stuff. Like, we add these new stuff all the time. So keep on top of it. You got beer for a year.
Does the Rolls Royce fit in that pool? You think it could fit in the pool?
The key can.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right. We'll come back and back to the phone calls, back to the phone lines. Coming up next, there's no better place to get in all the football action. Coming up, been with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, to add to the excitement of week 5. DraftKings Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to receive a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. On top of that, incredible offer. DraftKings offers great odds boost every Sunday to help you make it rain. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code FANATIC when you sign up. Get up to $1,000. That's code FANATIC to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000, a G, for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Got to be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. Partnership with the Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. First bet match eats up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, 12:30 across the Delaware Valley. Hope everybody's enjoying their Tuesday. Beautiful day. Junas, what is the poll situation? Because we're wondering, curious, are you ready to go to games? The Pennsylvania has now allowed sporting events that hold 15% capacity. We're waiting for the city to ratify it, and we'll see what the Eagles have to say.
Yeah, so we have this poll running until the end of the show tomorrow, because I'm sure we'll hear something from the mayor at some point. I guess he will make some sort of statement regarding it. But it's on at 975 middays, and the poll of the day is brought to you by Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinEcans.com. It's a simple yes or no answer. Would you go if you can? And there's over 1,000 votes already, and it's pretty close. 53% say yes, 47% say no.
Wow.
I thought it would be more in the 60% range for yes.
Yeah?
I did. I feel like people would want to go. And I think people are itching to go. I wonder if the Eagles are, 4-0, is it a different result? Honestly, is it a different result? Because maybe people are itching to go to see them live.
It's interesting.
But then again, there's just the idea of being down there. And I know a lot of people were upset when they didn't allow people to tailgate.
Yeah.
For that first home game. So I'm still surprised that it's only 53%.
Well, I'm curious. I'm curious. I'm going to get to Kevin, because Kevin wants to talk about, is he going to the games? Kev, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's happening, brother?
What up? Buddy, if anybody wants to give up their tickets, I'll take them. From the jump of this thing, I'm playing by the rules, wear a mask, go to the store, I'll do all the play all the games and stuff. But friends with kids that didn't care, we've been hanging out. The kids have been playing, roughhousing, close contact, no mask, living life normal. I get that there's a segment of population that's in more danger than the others and stuff, and we should be protecting them. But society's got to live, man. So I will take any and every ticket to every sporting event. I had to cancel a Mets game with my son. I lost Red Bulls tickets for my son, and it's driving me nuts. So I will go to any game, anytime, anywhere.
So you're ready to go. You're not worried at all about, how old's your son?
He's nine.
I got 7 and 10, so we're in between. And there's a part of me, like, I can dig where you come from, Kev, but there's also a part of me and the unknown, and I go, I don't want to risk it. I don't want to risk them for that.
I get it. There's a bunch of unknowns. I get it. And I listen to Bill Spadia on 101.5, and he's got the stats. It's like 50 kids nationwide. We lose more to the flu.
I know all the stuff. I know it all, right? Whoever you listen to, whatever it is, fine. It's your prerogative. I'm just giving you, I just don't, like, to me, it's not worth any kind of risk right now. Like, I could take a season off. But listen, God bless you, man. You take however you think. I'm one to live and let live. I don't oppose my...
That's what life. I want. That's what I want, buddy. Like, if there's two hardware stores, Bob's a season, Bob's a RMS, you said don't, I'm going in the don't store. You know, same thing with restaurants. They should have an option. Option to wear them or not, and I should have an option to wear it, and they should have an option to not let me in if I'm not. That's all. Just this mandate to where, like, the whole world shuts down is nuts. They should, make half the stadium masks and the other stadium distance and no mask, masks and distance the other stadium for anybody who's not scared. I don't know, something.
Yeah, it's not about scare, though. I mean, you can't portray it. If people are vigilant about their own health, I mean, you can't.
Oh, no, I get it.
It's a little off-putting, you know what I'm saying?
No, all right, scared, wrong word. But it's just at this point. It's not as bad. I mean, if they really thought this was some lethal virus and you're going to trust a handkerchief or a bandana,
I hear all that stuff, too. And listen, I get it. I get where you're coming from. Kevin, thank you, brother. I appreciate your input here.
Not a problem, brother.
Thanks, brother. Take care. I'm curious. Now, again, I don't know anything. I'm just some sports loser, right, on the radio. All right? I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a doctor. You know, I'm a former journalist who struck it lucky, right? That I get to come in every day and talk to my friends in my hometown and talk about the things I love in sports. So I far be it for me to give advice to anybody. I'm just giving you how I view it. Now, your wife's a nurse.
Yeah.
What would she say to Kev?
She would say things that I probably can't say on air.
But again,
here's what it is. It's disrespectful to somebody like my wife or to somebody, any person in the medical field that dealt with those who were really ill. So to say, people are just scared, hey, you know what? I'm sure there are people that are scared. Now, to what Kevin said, there are some people that probably won't get affected by it. I mean, it's all over the country. There's a lot of people that aren't really affected by it. Like, they didn't even feel symptoms. They were asymptomatic. But the thing is, you could be asymptomatic, have no idea. You know, you hear it over and over again. Could pass it on right to somebody.
I don't want
to
make any judgments because Kev's sounded like a great guy, you know, the whole thing. And, you know, I just you know what it is? And listen, I read this stuff too, and I agree with it. Like, I get that I don't know, you know, the kids. I just don't want to be unlucky. And if I'm going to play by the numbers, I can't risk my children. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even though the odds way, and I get it.
Yeah, for that age group.
But I'm also, really low. Listen, understand where I'm coming from. I'm also kind of an overprotective father, right? Like, I'm a little bit over the top. Like, Mossimo wants this dirt bike. I keep telling you about it. And I'm like, no, dude. Like, I'm not, and let him have the dirt bike. Let him have the dirt. I'm like, no. I'm telling you, I let him have two sodas a week.
Right.
The little ones, too. Not the you know, the full.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I'm serious. Like, I when it comes to it, I get a little overprotective with him.
Yeah, but, and then there's always the, well, God forbid something does happen, right?
But, like, yesterday, like, here's the thing I look at it. Now, my mother was an all-star warrior.
Right.
Like, she was a Hall of Fame warrior. Like, you go out, oh, my God, you know. Like, Mom, I'm fine. Like, there's not, you know, whatever. It was amazing because I used to be 13 years old. I would go out all night with my...
Right.
As long as you're with your cousin Joey, as long as you're with Joseph, everything's fine. And meanwhile, we were going clubbing, doing whatever.
That's amazing. The Lithuanians?
Yeah.
Oh, you're with Lithuanians? That's fine.
Right.
It was amazing.
That's the old school way. That's how they would do it. But, like, yesterday... Can I tell you, I had a beautiful day. Massimo says to me, Daddy, can we go to the field?
Nice.
And yeah, I love it, right? So I get a bucket of balls. I was thinking about that grandfather, right? I had a bucket of balls who said he couldn't pitch to his son and his grandson anymore. I had a bucket of balls. We go down the cage and the hit, boom. So he hits for about, you know, 30 minutes. And then I take him to the field. And I'm hitting fly balls to him.
Nice.
Right? And he's learned how to track the fly ball. I want to track the
Unlike
fly ball.
Unlike Aguilar.
So he's in the outfield, and I'm giving him the mark where he has to throw to and try to hit, you know, try to get on home plate, and we do this game. And then I hit him grounders, and he's got to get up, you know, and I have the net, right?
Yeah.
So you have the strike. So you hit the middle of the net. Off the ground ball, so we did that. I had him pitch it on the mound. You know, it was 2 hours of joy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, whatever. I look at him, I'm like, they're both banting. They're both gifts, right? And I can't do it. Like, I can't, like, and I look at it, I go, well, why even take it? Chances are nothing.
Right.
Nothing's going to happen. They go to school. Chances are nothing's going to happen. But you still got that. I got that nagging.
That's the what if.
It's my mother.
Yeah. Listen, if somebody wants to go to an Eagles game, I'm not going to hold that against them. I'm not. But, you know, you can't say this stuff like, oh, well, it's not that big of a deal. I get it. Live your life. I hear you. To Kev's point, we still do the outdoor dining, right? Like, we go down. We try to live our life as much as possible. I'm not ready to eat indoors yet. It's not a scared thing or not. It's just... Right. Dude, I don't know if these places are properly cleaning or not. Like, how do I know, right? I don't see what's going on until I walk in and I see what's going on around me.
And the thing is that, you know, A, it's a crapshoot if you get it, right?
Yeah. Plus, working with my wife, living with my wife, she's got to be cautious. So I got to be cautious.
Right.
So I'm not about to go to an Eagles game, get drunk with a bunch of other people. You know, somehow I get it. And then I pass it on to her, and then she passes it on to a patient that's not even there for COVID.
Exactly.
So, you know.
That's all.
Not a scared thing. It's
but
also
listen,
being smart.
Going to games. Listen, they're doing it all over the country.
Right.
So by no means am I saying you should not go to a game.
Right.
Go to a game. We'll enjoy it. Have fun. Enjoy it. I can't wait till we can. You know what I miss most? The truly miss most is walking into a bar.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just going into a bar and hanging out. Crowded bar. Especially in the fall. You know?
Yep.
I miss that. I can't wait till we get this all this nonsense over with.
You want to kill me this year? Ballpark.
Yeah?
Not being able to go. That killed me.
I know. Let's go to Aaron, West Philly. Aaron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, Ant, I'm back, bro.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Where you been, bro? You okay? We sent our prayers your way, by the way.
I had personal problems. Then I had a family problem, man. So I'm back in the saddle, man. Oh, good.
Oh, thank God.
I know I disgraced myself to Philly, but last time I talked to you, But we're going to save that for a beer one day and talk all about what happened and what's on my mind and all that.
We love you, Aaron.
But I love you, man. I love you. I miss y'all guys.
I know. We think about you all the time. We were putting a call out for you a couple times.
Oh, yeah, because I changed my number and everything, man. There's a lot of things going on, man. I had to talk to you about it one day. But I'm going to talk about Wentz and Simmons for a minute. I don't know, Ant. This is what I believe. When you draft a quarterback as Wentz, or your franchise quarterback, right? Within a year or two, you need to get a stud receiver in the draft so they can grow together.
Yes.
They never did that. And they let all the stud receivers go and pick up these guys that, you know.
Yes.
That's nothing. You know what I mean? That can't do nothing. And then he's playing with third stringers, people off the practice squad, and people want miracles from this guy. It's incredible that he works so hard every day when he goes out there in that football field, gives it his all, and people still don't like him. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. He's a hard worker in Philadelphia. We hard workers. We love hard workers. He's one of the hardest workers I've seen as a quarterback.
I know.
He'll go for every yard. He'll do anything he can do to win. But people still have this axe to grind with this young man. I don't know.
I know.
It's real mysterious.
It's weird.
It's weird. And they don't give me. I mean, I go through this on my block all the time. We get rid of Wentz. That quarterback. I mean, I hear it all day. As soon as I peek out the door, they're talking about Wentz.
Yeah,
man,
I don't get it, brother.
It's terrible. I don't get it, man. I really don't get it.
I'm with you.
And the Ben Simmons thing, Ant, real quick. Another thing about Philadelphia, and I love my city. This guy does everything well except shoot. Okay? He does everything well. He can rebound. He can assist. He can set up play. Defense out of this world. He was on the third team All-Stars this year. He was made the third team All-NBA. And they just don't like this kid either. What is the problem with Philadelphia lately?
I know.
What are we smoking? What are we looking at? He can't shoot. Okay, we understand. No, we don't know if he can't shoot. He just doesn't shoot. And that could be something, but he does everything else well.
Exactly.
And Doc Rivers said it the best. I'm going to get him to score. He can score. I'm going to get him to score. Who cares if he scores 30 points and all of them drive the layups? Didn't he score? But he didn't shoot. I mean, we get stuck on one thing and just run it in a hole.
Yeah, I think it is? I think it's because when they look at Ben, it's such a weird thing, Aaron, like not shooting a ball. Like, they can't grasp it. But sometimes I go, wow, he really doesn't shoot. I think that's it. But I'm with you because he can be so, like, he can be a top five player in the league if he upped it. If he's scoring 25 a night, then he's giving you Jimmy Butler type of triple doubles. He had that man's triple double the other night. 40, 12, and 11. You know, you can't, the baby triple double of 13, 12, 11, you know, that's got to be 25, 15, 10, you know?
Right. Let me say this, Ant, real quick. I know I'm rushing for time. Because you was talking about it yesterday, because I peeked in yesterday. I just didn't call.
Sure.
Yesterday. And at the end of this thing, you was talking about, the relationship between basically Wentz and the head coach, right?
Yes.
He was basically talking about I told you, I don't think Peterson really likes Wentz. I told you this before. It's something, I can't really pinpoint it, because anytime a quarterback
quarterback comes back, you say something to the quarterback. You give him some encouragement. He don't even encourage him during press conferences. I don't understand. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm making this thing up. But that's what I say. I don't know if he, I ain't going to say like him as a person, but maybe that wasn't the quarterback he really wanted. You see what I'm saying? Maybe
yes.
He really wanted Foles. Maybe he really wanted to keep Foles. Maybe he, you know, and all that kind of stuff runs in his head. Because he don't put him in, like, good positions to win.
Yes.
When you look at it, yes. You don't really put him in good positions to win.
Yeah.
Now, he should be rolling out more. He should be doing things quicker.
I don't understand it. I mean, honestly, I don't get it. I really don't. Aaron, I just got to say, I'm just so thrilled you're back.
I'm back, brother. I'm back.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You,
oh, be
I'll
safe.
Be calling every
Our
day,
prayers
man.
Are for you. You know that, brother. Hopefully everything's good, man.
Everything's good.
Good. God bless you.
Good.
Take it easy, Ar. Isn't that cool?
Miss that man.
Yeah. We love our callers, man. I got to tell you. We talk about this every day. So everybody that calls, like, we feel this kinship with, you know, Judas and I. It's fun. So we know everybody. Like, you call, you could be first time we kind of get an inkling. It's a real family type of thing, I think. It's kind of cool. So we have an hour left. And I see everybody. We're going to just talk for an hour. And it's all you guys. No guests, nothing. Just phone calls and fun. Let me talk about Parks Casino first, shall we? Speaking of fun, always fun going to Parks Casino up at Street Road, Ben Salem. And the sports book is ridiculous. It's absolutely fabulous, that sports book. But you can get that same experience online or with the app. Go to Parks Casino. That's right, .com, and download the Sportsbook app. You can get a risk-free bet up to $500 when you open up an account. That's right, $500 when you open up an account. Now you can check it out. I'm on the, let me go to the app right now and see what they got cooking. And that's right, we said Birds 7. They're getting 7. The over-under 45. I kind of like the over a little bit in that game. I like the Lakers tonight, minus the 7.5. We talked about that. Let's talk about baseball. And it sounds weird, but I kind of like the Marlins as a big dog, Junis, and the Rays. And I think you got to go Dodgers over Padres. So we'll kind of go through it a little bit later on as well. But check out Parks Casino and all the fun on the app. You get that risk-free bet up to $500 when you use code Fanatic. You got to be 21. You got to be in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Get some water.
1 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. Cause Radio with the Tunis. Hanging with you. And you know what's on the table. So it's going to games. Are you going to go if something happens? And Burrs, I will say this. Sunday night, November 1st, Eagles Cowboys. What? I mean, Tunis.
Yeah, and it's going to mean something, too. It's going to mean something.
It's not bad. Eagles, Cowboys. I mean, come on, man. Come in. Eagles, Cowboys, Sunday night. Hey, that's all I care. We talked about all that matters is that, and this is what I look for every football season. That I get meaningful football for 16 weeks, 16 games. That's it. I want meaningful football.
Yeah, and that's where we're at right now.
You know?
Again. They lost yesterday on Sunday. It's a different story, but hey, first place.
Well, right. So, and then we're into this. We're trying to do the bridge the chasm, Tyrone, with the Carson hate and the Ben hate. Because by far, Carson Wentz and Ben Simmons are the two most polarizing figures in town. So, I happen to be a fan of both of them. So, I like them both. I root for them both. And I think it's in our best interest that the two of them reach their potential, because that means we're going to win again. So we're offering you, and I'm offering you the chance, that if you don't like them, get it off your chest, tell me why, and we'll see if it's rooted in pettiness. And I'm not above pettiness. So I'm not making a judgment call here. I can be petty with the best of them. But I just want you to realize so we can build the bridge.
Right. Now, it's interesting because I saw your tweet at the beginning of the show regarding this conversation, the Simmons and Wentz, and, if anybody wanted to answer on Twitter, why? So I retweeted it from the Midday account. I'm looking at some of the responses, and nobody can really give a real answer, which is the funny thing. The only real answer from a guy named Hornet211 at @EaglesFan_3899. The only real answer. Did you watch Aaron Rodgers play last night with no name receivers?
Yes.
And yes, Aaron Rodgers had a good game yesterday, right? So, and that's the only, I go, okay, yeah, but he's also Aaron Rodgers. Like, we know who Aaron Rodgers is.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you ever hear me say Carson Wentz is better than Aaron Rodgers?
No. No, you've never said that.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he could be top three of all time. So I agree. Carson Wentz is not Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers still had some decent protection last night because I watched the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a hell of a sturdy back.
Yep. And Aaron Jones, yes.
Just putting it out there. But no, he's not Aaron Rodgers. But you're right. He's not Aaron Rodgers. I agree with you.
That's the only real response. There's no other, it's because I don't like this. People just hate, but they don't have a reason why.
You know why? You know what he's not, too? He's not Patrick Mahomes. I watched him, too, last night. And even though it was kind of a down game, you still see his greatness. So Wentz is not Mahomes or Rodgers. I'm with you. But come on, you get my point. You know the kid doesn't stink. That's all we took call after call over the first 3 weeks that said he stinks. He doesn't stink. Nick Mullins stinks. Like, you watch that. You watch a quarterback that's gifted to get. Guess what? The Eagles don't win if Nick Mullins isn't giving out gifts like Santa.
Here you go, Alex Singleton.
I mean, really.
I just throw this right to you.
How about
you
before halftime? He is even more egregious. First down, he's throwing a pick like that. And nobody was even close to him. And you can see the ball coming out of his hands. It's like a slingshot. It's not even a throw. It's like a push. He stinks. Malik, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Malik!
Spank, baby, baby!
Ah, Lamar Malik!
What's going on, cousin?
What's crackalating?
Who's crackalacking? That's right, dude.
My man.
Yo, cuz, I'm going to run it down real quick.
Yeah,
right?
Baby.
When I go to a game, yes, and I will wear a mask. I wear N95 mask, right? Now, I do agree with the guy. His wording was wrong. They pump a lot of fear. They put every time you're on TV, Corona, Corona, Corona.
Yes.
They're programming you, which is not cool. I don't like that.
Right.
We know Corona's out here. I don't need you to tell me and put it in my face 24/7.
Yeah.
They're about to shut Russia down now.
Yeah,
you know what's going to happen.
Did you see Putin? Putin's got this, like, he's in this fortress where he doesn't allow anybody near him. it's all technology. It's amazing.
Right. And they're about to shut you. So when they do it, everybody else is going to start doing it. It's crazy. Wentz, I'm going to say this. I like Wentz. I need more consistency. I need him to be able to react, not hesitant, feet work, got to get better. He just, He's not a bad quarterback, and you can see that he could be a good quarterback, but he's not consistent. Like, I don't know if it's arrogance to the point where you think he's good and he's getting all his acknowledgement, and he's not working on his craft. You know what I mean?
Does he strike you as a guy that doesn't work? You know what I'm saying? He don't strike me. Now, again, I'm not in the room. He could be,
right.
You know, but he don't strike me that way.
Well, you know, the rumors were, you know, about him and the coordinator that he was hard-headed. So,
well, there's a difference between, because if I go to that coordinator, I go, you know what? Dude, I don't believe you're any good. Then, you know why? I'm not listening to you.
Right, I like spot throwers. I like guys that throw the ball while the receiver's running. He just has, and I know you can't make every throw, but dude, you gotta make them throws when people are wide open, man.
Yeah, listen, and you're referring to the Sanders one, right? I guess.
Well, that was one of many. Yes.
Well, not Sunday. Yeah. No, he didn't have many of Sunday. What?
Oh man, cuz he had a guy. I think it was an in route, right? And he had somebody beat on the same route and didn't hit either one. I watched it. We sat there while they replayed it. The play, that's what happened.
You might be right. I'm trying to go back in my mind's eye and rewatch the game. I watched it again. I'm trying to figure out. I saw there's a couple of bad plays, but my point to you is, let me ask you a question. If you actually have
it, I want to say something about Ben Simmons before you go.
All right, real quick. If you got a suspect offensive line, like in and out, guys going in and out, right? You got no receivers. Don't you think that's going to affect you a little bit? In that you're not sometimes. If you got a guy, you're going to miss him. I know the play you're talking about was the play he throws wide, because the linebacker drops back into coverage and he didn't want to throw a pick, so he threw it too wide. That's the play you're talking about.
Yeah, it seems like he's a little indecisive. If the play is covered,
If he's indecisive throwing to Jerry Rice, I'd say you're right.
No, but you have to trust. You have to throw that ball.
Trust. That you said, trust. Do you trust?
Well, that's in his head.
Oh, come on. Do you trust J.J. Arcega-Whiteside?
He has a mind of a peanut, man. He got his head.
Come on. He's not a peanut mind. Yes, all right, does. Real quick. Give me Ben.
You see the potential. I've seen him in college. He gives up on tape. I don't think he has. I think he likes the game. He loves the game. Maybe he do love the game. I'm not going to say that about him. But he's an arrogant little spoiled chump. I mean, I wish he played up in like Kobe and all the rest of them did up in the league of New York, where he get beat up a little bit, where they laugh at you. You understand what I'm saying? Like, why would you not?
Now, you make a judgment. Well, let me play devil's advocate a little bit. You say he's arrogant.
Right.
I don't know. Do you know he's arrogant?
I mean, he's saying in his demeanor. You know, the way he smiles, you know. Like, dude, shoot a 15-footer. If you want to shoot the 3-footer.
Who do you like? Who do you like?
Who do I like? What do you mean?
Well, who do you like right now playing? Who do you like?
Murray. I mean, it goes on and on and on and
who?
On and on. I mean, Murray.
I'm talking about in town.
Oh, it's time. No, I like it be easy. You know, I like it be. I like Wentz. I just want more consistency. Right.
I love you, brother. You know that. Great stuff. I appreciate it. I'm just trying to get to the point of what is, like, what are we talking about? Arrogant. Is he arrogant? I mean, I can't call him that. I don't know the kid. I was around him. He didn't seem arrogant to me when I was around them, but again, I don't know. Maybe he comes across that, comes off like that. I don't know what, listen, maybe it's born into the too cool thing. You might be right. Like, maybe that is it. I don't know.
It's funny because Tyrone was in here during that call. And Tyrone and I had this conversation often about the people who say, oh, well, he has no heart. And I go, Did you ever talk to the guy? Like, how do you know that he has no heart? Now, I get it. It is egregious that he doesn't even attempt a jump shot when we all say him shooting will help the team win, right? So we all say that. We all know it. But he may personally think that his shot is not good enough. And I'm sure Ben Simmons goes, well, me shooting actually is going to hurt the team, which is why I don't do it. So there's this, we have to see it to believe it, that he can shoot or will shoot. And then we have to see it, whether or not it does help or hurt the team. But I just don't get the, he's arrogant, he's got no heart, when we don't know the dude. I see the guy out there play almost 82 games a season and plays at, what, he plays 28 to 30 minutes a night? More so?
And by the way, they missed him.
Uh-huh.
They missed him. You can say whatever you want. They missed him. If he plays against Boston, I'm not saying they win.
It's not a sweep.
Definitely not.
That was an ugly sweep.
It was.
And B was the only guy that showed up.
And T-Will makes a great point. Even if he is arrogant, so what? Right? It's so what? Great players, a lot of them have that arrogance of, I don't need, you know, I want to go play.
James Harden, is he arrogant?
You know,
he wants the ball, he wants to shoot, he wants to score.
He's not dating your daughter. Not dating your sister. He's arrogant. Oh, I don't like him. He's an arrogant guy. Well, do you care if he's playing quarterback? I don't know. I just don't understand the hatred of these two guys.
Especially when those are the two guys that I think go out there.
And I love Lamar, but Lamar goes, well, he says he missed a lot of guys. And I remember the two ones that stand out are the Sanders one and the throw, and it was to Ward, I think it was Ward, on a crosser, and he was wide. He missed them wide.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked bad. And then Collinsworth, or if it was Collinsworth, that you saw the play and you saw the linebacker drop back in coverage and it caused him to throw the ball wide. Now, he still could have made the throw, but he missed it, and you could see he was afraid to throw another pick. So, like, you kind of understand it. If he's throwing to DK Metcalf and DeAndre Hopkins, right? Say they got those two receivers, which they could have had.
Right?
They could have, right? Say he's got those two receivers and Ertz. Well, guess what? If you're missing them, that's on you. But I got to let him some slack, knowing who he's throwing to.
Yeah, and the offense is different, too. You're going downfield.
And the line,
you're
right.
All kinds of
exactly.
Stuff.
Nicky, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nicky!
What's up, Docs?
What's going on, Nick?
What's up, fellas? I don't know who to cover now. I don't know who to talk to. But let me start with Aaron. Good to hear his voice. And like he said, I don't expect a miracle. I don't expect miracles from Carson. I need him to just play good, be a good quarterback. And like Lamar said, I understand he missed a few throws. I mean, see, Lamar Jackson missed two or three big-time throws against KC Monday night a week ago where that game could have turned around. He missed an out route from a wheel route from his running back that would have been a touchdown, would have got him within, I think, a touchdown. And he missed another deep throw. So quarterbacks miss throws. So I'm not going to crucify a quarterback for missing throws when he plays the best game he's played all year. So, but again, I don't want a miracle from any of these guys. What I do want from a basketball player is to shoot a basketball. All right. That's not a miracle. That's not asking a miracle. I'm watching a game. I'm watching James Butler, right? The other night. The dude scores, hold on, the dude scores 40 triple-double. Did you know he did not attempt a three? He didn't miss a three or attempt a three.
Yeah,
he scored 40 points.
I did.
Yeah, you got, well, you're, you know, I can't get, I got to get up early to get something across to you.
No,
but what I'm saying is, how do you score 40 in the NBA with no three-pointers?
I'm smiling and agreeing with you.
Right. Because, I mean, 40 points, I mean, every night somebody's scoring 40 points. But he scores, but usually it's with five or six triples. He drops 40 with no attempted three-pointer. Okay. So my whole thing is, can I get this next year? All right. I don't, it could be the last game of the season against
you know, Timberwolves or the Wizards. Can I get a 30-point triple double from your boy? Can you ask him that?
Yes.
Like, I don't want against the Lakers or against the Butlers, good defensive team.
I agree.
A bum team, come out, and I don't even need you to take a 7-foot shot. If you want to lay everything up and slam it in, go ahead. I need a thirty point triple double. That's all I need. Like, show me, you know. I don't think he's arrogant. I think what he is maybe is slightly selfish as a basketball player, not as a person. I don't know how he is a person. He could be the next Dalai Lama. I don't know. Okay. Or the next devil, right? He could be the Dalai Lama. I mean, he could be somewhere in between a Dalai Lama and a devil. So I don't know. I'm not going to speak on his personal thing. As a basketball player, to me, he's selfish. You got five guys on the court. And he's affecting, and I know he can rebound, he can run, he's a gazelle, he's got leaps, he can get, you know, I get all that. Okay, but like you like to say about the Phillies outfielders, if they're a four-tool player, they can throw and run and steal bases and track balls and all that, but the dude's batting .211, all three of them, what are they good for?
Right, right.
I mean, so that, I got my point guard, the guy who's supposed to lead the franchise. If he can't get me 20, I've been saying this for 2 years, I need 25 with your eyes closed. These freaking blah bums, or like you could like to call them every once in a while, these fleas drop 25 in the NBA on a Tuesday night, you know, on the bench for 17 minutes. And they're only on the floor for, you know, for half the game, and they're dropping 25 with their eyes closed. So that's all I want. I'm not asking for much from a basketball player.
I get it. I appreciate it, my brother. You're right. I get it. What about Carson?
Look, he played the best game he did all season. Now, like your earlier caller, or no, like your cousin said, you know, he's taking way too much contact. You know, there's a poll on the
I'm out. Honestly, for a second, I was like, did they do that? Wow, that's pretty good. That's fantastic. That's good stuff. Every once in a while, we revert to like we're talking on the corner.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
I know Nick, but you know, I gotta give equal treatment.
Yes,
you drop a cuss, you know, you're done. That's all. Equal treatment, even though I know Nick.
You drop a cuss.
Yeah, you're done. That's all for the day, or for the week if you're like Stanton or something.
Yeah. Poor Stanton, he can't help himself.
Hey, your mother. And then he drops and like, dude, come on, man.
Every time Stanton calls, Tuna starts to get worried.
Well, I pick up the phone and I go, hey, you're next. Don't curse. I know. Yeah. You sure?
Oh, that's great. I love it. All right. We got coming up Black Gritty from these streets. VT Ron. Joe from West Philly, Johnny from Dallas. A lot of fun. Good stuff. And we got two open lines if you want to snag them. It's Cuz Radio with the Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic.
And this is Andrew Sal Tunis. The basketball finals are here. We got a game tonight, and FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is ready to support your betting needs. FanDuel Sportsbook has over 400 basketball betting markets, with markets as simple and exciting as the first player to make or miss the first basket. That's all. It's awesome. FanDuel Sportsbook also has a topical pregame super boost and in-game boost, so you can continue getting the best odds and promotions. Don't forget their same game parlays. I've been talking about that a lot with the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the only place with same game parlays for the NBA Finals, where you can combine multiple bets from one matchup or team into a single parlay. Here's one more reason to try FanDuel Sportsbook. New users can place their first bet risk-free on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $1,000 back in site credit. If you don't win, there are no strings attached. I absolutely love the team in purple and gold today. I loved what Jimmy Butler did in Game 3, but I'm sorry. I think it's L.A. in 5. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to place your basketball finals bet today with promo code FANATIC. That's promo code FANATIC. Must be 21 plus and present in PA. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Back
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, 130 across the Delaware Valley. I don't know. I guess his allergies are killing me, but you said the same thing, right? They're bad this year.
What, the allergies?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've been bothering me a little bit. Oh, when I was down the shore, I got it. I didn't know you can get allergies out in the ocean.
Yeah, that's weird.
The further I went out, the worse it got, but yeah. They've been fun.
All right. I got to hear it. You tease me during the break.
Yeah, we got
now. Let's talk about the audience. Tell the audience what you told me.
I think our show specifically got a shout out today from Jim Schwartz.
Really?
Yeah, Jim Schwartz was being he had his press conference today, and they asked about Nate Gary.
Really?
Yeah. So take a listen to what Jim Schwartz had to say.
Nate's been a very solid player for us and has helped us win a lot of games. And I would just caution this. There's probably a lot of plays that people outside of our building think might be his fault, that he just happens to be the closest guy when someone else made a mistake. And I think they end up blaming him.
Nate or Nathan, which one are you going by these days?
White Snake.
So it's not Nate Gary's fault.
Listen.
It's not his fault he blows.
Yeah, but I can't blame Schwartz for trying to stick up for his player.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
I got you.
You know.
Truth serum. You know, he sucks. Thanks, Howie. He gave me Alex Singleton.
Yeah. You know. I mean, what are you going to do? Dude, here's my beef with Schwartz. Stop playing soft.
Yep.
At the end, like, why? Oh my God!
They were in the game because of it.
Dude, you look at and you look who's playing quarterback, C.J. Beathard. All right, C.J. Beathard's the quarterback. I heard Mark this morning call him C.J. Betham. All right, C.J. Beathard. You want to talk about a no name?
Yeah.
Right. Grandson of Bobby Beathard.
Right.
Right? Like, come on. You got to pressure him.
Yeah. And
you
then
can't let him get comfortable.
And then he's got a 35-yard shot to the end zone with George Kittle. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a Hail Mary anymore. That's, you know, you have plays designed for to maybe get to 35 yards. It's not like you're doing a 70-yard chuck down the field.
You let him get into a rhythm.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I mean, what, that's the problem I got. Not that he's picking up for the White Snake.
Nate or Nathan, which one are you going by these days?
White Snake. Here
I
go
again on my own. I don't know why it makes me laugh every time you do that. Oh, that's classic. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Picks coming up too. Our baseball got baseball back. Big day today.
Yes,
four games.
Clevenger starting for the Pods.
They took out Paddock. Clevenger's a good. Clevenger could. He could.
Oh
deal.
Yeah, he can deal now.
Joe in West Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joey.
Hey, what's up, cuz?
There he is, Joey boy. Man. What's happening, man?
You know what? You know, my feelings on the Eagles, in the Sixers, my feelings on Wentz is that I think that the people are mad at him just because you said he's not a Brooks. I mean, he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Pat Mahomes in his fifth year. And I think in his fifth year, I think that's why a lot of people are really mad, you know what I mean, at him personally, because I don't think you don't really need DJ Metcalf in order to see that he's not Patrick Mahomes and he's not Aaron Rodgers in his fifth year.
But you know how it is.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You can't win without those guys.
Oh yeah, without those guys, exactly. I mean, I know you want a playmaker. You know, he got a big arm. He can put it in their hands.
Yeah.
Like Ryan in Atlanta. You know, he can just really. You know, he's not really all that special, but he got enough left on to put it in, you know, Julio's hands and things like that. You know, I can understand that. But I think that's why a lot of people are mad. They thought that by this time that they would be looking at a Pat Mahomes type or Aaron Rodgers type, and it's not.
And it's funny because Pat Mahomes, I love him. He's my man, right? Like, he also has real weapons around him, and he's got an innovative coach. This is nothing against Doug, but Doug's strong suit isn't like devising incredible offense.
No, you know what? I thought Doug always started him off like Peyton Manning with the shotguns and thought he was going to outread defenses and all that, and that's not Carson either. You know what I mean? He's not the guy to sit in the shotgun like that and pick apart offenses and all that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe if Marvin Harrison, he could be, right? Adrian James.
I mean, anybody with enough talent is, but I mean, I just think they would think, you know, Carson would be his household name. I do the injuries and what's or not, but you know what I mean? I mean, he does have skills, he does have talents. And I still believe you put better talent on him. Yeah, he will do better, but I don't think he's a one man show like they thought, you know, like a Mahomes or a Rodgers and that type. He's just not the one man show gunslinger that everybody thought he was. You know what I'm saying? Yes, get him some help. I agree with that. And the thing about Ben, I agree with the other guy. I think it is kind of selfish. You're 6'10". You can get anywhere on a basketball court, anywhere. You know what I mean? A flash of a light and you won't shoot the ball. I mean, the first thing you learn in basketball. I mean, you know how in them third quarters when everybody grabbing their shorts and you got your 6'10" point guard on a 6'4" point guard and he won't shoot that 10-footer. You know the ones that Kyle Lowry kill you with, them type of guys. Everybody's dead tired. Nobody can move. And Kyle Lowry are not going to stick. You know what them type of guys. And Ben just can't. He got to add it to his game. I'm sorry, man. You got to shoot the ball. I mean, he got too much talent that did not shoot the basketball. He's 6'10". He's faster than everybody. He can get anywhere on the court. You know what I mean? And we know he's not a bad shooter. I mean, you know, you've seen enough of practice and tapes. Come on, man. Let that thing go. That's all I got to say about that. Let it go.
I get you, brother. Listen, Joey.
He got everything you say is. You know what I mean? No doubt about it. But yeah. I just don't want
the hate. Because I'm sensing hate.
Oh, no. I don't want to hate.
I'm not saying you hate. But you listen. I think people are driven crazy.
Man, they want Ben to put his pound on his head. Get what you deserve, man. You're really not third. I mean, that's what, if you can do that, you can make third team NBA Ben. Well, man, what you can, you know what I mean? I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's what people say. Yeah. Ben Simmons is scratching the surface of his potential when he's 13. Come on, dude, shoot that. Let it go, man. You know? Man, I mean, what you say is, I believe you.
Thank you. You make me live, Joey. I appreciate it, brother. Take it easy. I mean, that is what people are saying. That's exactly it in a nutshell. It's amazing.
Yeah, I remember.
You know what's amazing? It's funny because Nikki on the text board says, you know, it's amazing how Ben not shooting the ball will take over a show.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Or Carson missing a receiver wide will take over a show.
I forget why, but Mike was talking to Sixers at the end of last week, I think it was, and some guy calls in and goes, "You like playing basketball, right?" And Mike's like, "Yeah." And he goes, "You like shooting the basketball, right?" And Mike goes, "Yeah, that's all I did." Well, how do you play basketball and not shoot? And it always comes back to that.
I know.
And I get why that caller's saying it. If you ever stepped onto a basketball court, you're not, first thing you're not doing is not, you know, dribbling around the chair and then throwing the ball through the hoop as a pass. You're shooting.
Yeah, I love basketball. Yeah.
And you go out there and shoot.
We would go out from, you know, you go out, play ball your whole life, right? 9 o'clock in the morning, summertime, till it's dark, right? Your lights in Johnson Field. It was the greatest thing in the world. But, you know. I mean, I get it. I don't know what else to say. The kid does a million things on the floor. Can we not say he stinks?
He does not stink.
The only thing it rubs me, like Nick Mullen stinks. Carson Wentz does not stink. VT Ron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. VT Ron!
My man, pots and pans.
What's going on, Ronnie?
Hey, we got to talk about Wentz. But before we get there,
I've been going to the Coastal games, and I do the chains at Coastal, and I'm on the field, and you know, the kids are there with me. But when I look in the stands, they're allowing 5,000 people, and we're getting 5,000 people. And you know me, I like to go to games, but I'm a little bit on the fence about going to a game. But working on the field is kind of different because we're all protected. The kids have been tested,
and that's
a good thing.
Yeah.
But I look into the stands, Anthony, and people have masks on. I actually seen an usher tell somebody to put a mask on.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. And you know, again, that's just a small sample. It's Coastal. But, you know, it's just something that brought my mind when you talk about going to a game. I don't know if I would risk it either to go to a game, to be very honest with you.
Yeah.
I could wait a year. I really can wait a year. The only way I would go is if I get vaccinated and I go. And you know I'd be on a plane.
You can't wait.
But I think I'm like you. I think I need to protect the people that are around me. I can't be selfish and go to a game thinking that this is going to be great and I'm going to be okay. And all I need to do is get behind somebody or in front of somebody that possibly could have it as they're walking into the game, mask or no mask. And so that's where I am with it. And I just wanted to throw that in. I've seen it. I've been to games where they're doing it. And they're doing a good job at Coastal. But that's just a very small sampling. And by the way, this kid, this McCall kid at Coastal, this redshirt freshman, if you get a chance to see him, man, you got to watch this kid. He can play.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this kid McCall can play. I know it's a Sun Belt conference, but he just took Arkansas State apart.
All right.
This kid can play. Kid by the name of McCall, he's a redshirt freshman. If you get a chance, take a look at him. Now, let's get to Wentz. You know, and I've been talking to you for a long time about Wentz. Wentz is my man. Wentz can make every throw there is, and we've seen him make every throw that he can. He can do stuff on his feet that other quarterbacks can't. And I think quarterbacks go through slumps just like everybody. See, we agree that?
Yep.
Right? I mean, sometimes they miss people. And I really think two things. One, and they've said it all show, the Folesian society is the first thing they have to hate against Wentz. I think that comes from there. And think about this for a second. Think about where he went to college. He didn't go to college at he didn't go to Alabama. He didn't play at Auburn. He didn't play at Miami. He didn't come out of a school where, you know, he can play. You know, I mean, a school that is name recognition. You know, he came out of North Dakota. I mean, you know, come on. You know, and I think that has something to do with it. And I really, really think that along with the Foles thing, there's just an image there. But I don't get it, Anthony. I don't get it. He can make every throw there is. The dime that he dropped last game, he threw a dime. I mean, you can't ask the quarterback to do more than what he does. You couldn't ask to do what he did, put the team on his back, take his feet, get a first down. How about the throw he made on the second down to make it third and six, even though they had the holding penalty? Who makes that throw? He does.
Yeah, I agree.
What do people want out of this kid? Really? I mean, look, is he a Mahomes? No. But does he have a Tariq Hill also? No. Give him Tariq Hill and let me see what he does.
Yeah, you know what? And I appreciate that, VT, because, again, there seems to be such hypercriticism of him. And I go like this. I understand. Like, he didn't play well at all. First three games, he was awful. He had no confidence. No. But the kid played his heart out. He always plays hard, but he played his heart out Sunday night. And still,
Anthony,
you know what? Like, I get my friends. I got a friend of mine. Right off the bat, he throws a pick, wince. Like, come on, man.
You.
You're enjoying. You're
I
enjoying
you. I
it.
Hear
yeah.
these, I hear these people about Foles. Now, here's the thing. The guy puts the team on his back. He works hard. You know, isn't that the kind of guy Philadelphia really likes? They like to see a guy put blood on the field, walk off with dirt in his mask. I thought that's what that kind of player Philadelphia wants. At least, look, I've been around a long time, and that's the kind of player I want. I want the guy with the heart that's good. If he knows he's not having a good day, well, he's going to try something else to win the game for you.
Yeah.
And that's it right there. That's
I hear
what
you, brother.
Do.
Good
Anthony,
stuff,
we
man.
We do that. Yeah, brother. Yeah.
Take it easy, VT Ron. Johnny in Dallas. Our own spy, like in the show The Americans, we have our own infiltrator in Dallas, and his name is John.
Hey, what's going on, man? I needed that win Sunday night, man.
I bet you did, man.
Because it's been rough. I haven't watched a second of the NBA playoffs, the NBA finals. I barely watched like 5 minutes since the Sixers got eliminated. I just couldn't. Even though it was good basketball, I think I watched a little bit of Jamal Murray because I've always kind of liked him.
Right.
You know, but it's just been rough. I mean, even the Eagles, when they were putting me through those first 3 weeks, I couldn't put Sunday on my team because it was just making me mad. And then the Phillies just irked me with what they did. Finally they got rid of Klintak, but they didn't really get rid of him, so I don't know what's going on there. But, you know, it's just getting right to it, like what you guys are talking about. I love Wentz. I mean, I love Foles too, but I don't ever regret the fact that we chose Wentz over Foles. You had to, you know, what you gave up to move up to get him, what you were going to have to pay him. It just made all the sense in the world. I don't wish no ill will on Nick. I was, you know, rooting for him on Sunday. I was watching a little bit of that Bears-Colts game. I wanted to see him do well. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Like, I don't look at it as them against each other. I don't understand people that want Wentz to fail, or, you know, like you're talking about your buddy, like, you're an Eagles fan, right? Like, why are you taking joy in him struggling? You know what I mean? Like, we're struggling then as fans.
That's right. That's exactly right. You're dead on.
And then even I thought of you. I'm watching that Cowboys-Browns game. And I remember you saying last week, man, we ain't got a receiver that can do anything. And you always talk about their three, Gallup, CD, and Cooper. And they got Noah Brown and the kid Wilson, I think his name is.
Yeah.
Did you see him the week before against Seattle?
Like, yeah.
Those dudes are even making plays for them. I'm like, how do they have five guys that are – now, their defense is horrible. I mean, obviously. But how do they have five guys that are making plays left and right? And we have first and second round picks that are either hurt or Sega Whiteside gets hurt before the game. Like, I don't know. Like, you hurt yourself in warm-ups? Like, come on, man.
I know. No, it's amazing, isn't it? When you think about it, it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
And you mentioned something, and I'll be honest. I was upset when Wentz missed Sanders on that one. My initial reaction was, oh, McNabb worm ball. Then I looked at it, I'm like, all right, he probably could have caught that. And then I remember there was a play earlier when he lofted one to the sideline, and it was a little underthrown, and Rodgers, you know, couldn't get to it. But, like, part of me was just like, damn, why can't a receiver just make a play for us?
Yeah, I know. One time. That's it.
It was horrible. Like, it wasn't a great throw. I'm not trying to say, I'm just saying, like, damn, why
right.
can't some
it was
guys
definitely,
make a play?
It was a horrible throw, without a doubt. Yeah. Horrible throw. However, or he missed it. However, how about you make a play, cuz? How about one time?
And I get it. Richard Rodgers is not Randy Moss. You know what I mean? I'm not even trying to blame him. I'm just saying, damn, why can't one guy just make a play? I've seen receivers, every team, there's like some guy from somewhere. I'm like, who is this? And I even decided to play fantasy this year. I got guys like, I'm seeing Robbie Anderson. He's killing it for our boy Matt down there. I'm like, we could have got him last year. You know what I mean? And the problem is, you talked earlier about that Jeffries contract. Yeah, but giving him that contract is what kept you from maybe making a move for him or maybe making a move for DeAndre.
I know.
Josh Allen is doing well. You don't think having Stephon Diggs, who made an amazing catch on Sunday? I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I saw it. That was the play. He makes the great. He's unbelievable. And that was the. How about the play? Josh Allen is. He's been unbelievable.
Yeah, I've been a big Doc Rivers guy, but I'm excited about this. This hire and what they're going to do. For some reason, I don't know why. I'm just kind of.
I'm excited about it too. I am. I'm excited for Doc. Johnny, listen, I love it, and then keep giving it to those Cowboy people down there, all right?
Of course, man. Take
all
care,
right, brother. Take it easy. That was, in a nutshell, kind of what the show has been today.
Yeah, of course. That show recap brought to you by Dietz & Watson. Dietz & Watson and family-owned Heritage Dairy Stores who make their hoagies with premium Dietz & Watson meats and cheeses. To find the area's best hoagies, visit DietzandWatson.com.
There you go, cuz. Did you learn anything today?
I learned that people can't admit why they don't like Ben and Carson. They really can't. They just go, I don't like him. Well, why don't you like him? It's the Crosby thing. Well, why don't you like him?
I just don't like him.
Because I just don't like him. And it's like, all right. Well, I mean, he is your starting quarterback and is getting paid $100 million. You should try to like him.
I just don't like him.
Ben Simmons is the point, but he's not going anywhere. right? Doc Rivers not trading these two guys or one of these two guys. No, I just don't like him. I just go, all right, man, you know, you'll never be happy then.
I got to get my man off here from deep in these streets. He is the one, the only way to end the show with the Black Gritty.
We are the champions for a week. What up, guys? We over here in first place.
What's going on, first place, Gritty?
Where's half my my primo trade? Me and Trinidad started splitting, dog.
That's right. I got you. I got you.
All right, Drew, don't be eating up on my primos, bro. I know you like them cold, dog. I like my fresh.
All right.
So let me tell you some stuff. First of all, Deshaun Watson is trash. They just paid this trash quarterback
$160 million. Oh, that's not fair. He's trash.
He's 0-4.
Yeah, because of his coach.
He's a horrible quarterback. He can't even throw a ball. Oh, wait. Or is it because his coach / GM traded away one of the greatest wide receivers of our lifetime?
Oh, that was brilliant.
Who will be shut down in first half. He'll be shut down first half, double covers, come back in the second half and put up 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. You could never stop this dude. The least dropped passes of all time of any wide receiver, but you're going to give him away for nothing. And now your $160 million quarterback looks like trash, okay? Imagine if we ever got our quarterback some healthy, decent, young receivers. But we won't because the front office is trash. So, I mean, if you want to yell about Carson Wentz, people that really don't like him is because he hunts. He's a gatherer, he's a quiet guy, and he's like half a ginger.
That's the way to end it. All right, everybody. What a great show. Thank you. I mean, you guys, it was great hanging with you guys. Stay tuned. Mikey Miss coming up next. Be careful. Watch yourself, all right? Keep healthy, and we'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.